Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
Thank you very much indeed, Ian Lee. It's Talk Radio. We've got Miles Hunt from The Wonder Stuff. We're talking swimming pools, catheters, sleep. And have you ever been an understudy? 0844 499 1000. If you give us a call, we'll give you a call back. Here is the news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll want to settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. Maybe tomorrow, I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. There's a world that's waiting to unfold. A brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there and we've paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you wanna join me, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll find what I call home. Until tomorrow, you know I'm free to roam.
Ah, yes. So, good evening, dear listener, Ian Lee. I have to get this out of my system, Catherine, as I said to my producer. That's the Ronnie Corbett tribute.
Thank you. Yes, I know.
As I said to my... You're wearing these glasses!
I knew you'd say that.
Well, you've got his glasses on.
They're my glasses.
Does the family know, for crying out loud?
They're my glasses. I'm running short of contact lenses. And when I put them on this morning, I thought, I flipping know what he's going to say. And you said it.
I said it, yes. I did. What's wrong with glasses? I think I used to wear glasses and then I stopped smoking dope. And it turns out I didn't need glasses. Honestly.
To see straight.
Yeah,
right.
It turns out I was just, hey, man. I look hot. That was a loud swallow.
Because you said hot.
I look hot in glasses. Now, I would wear yours and show you, but you wouldn't be able to see. The only thing, if I were to wear your glasses, the only part of me that would be in focus for you would be my eyes. Because that would magnify my eyes.
You're not that far away from me. I could probably see you.
Give me the glasses. Give me the glasses. Give me the glasses.
Right, you're fuzzy, but I can see you.
You can't say that anymore. Hey, looking hot. Now I look cross-eyed.
Looking good.
It's
gone.
There's a slight cat's eye to them as well. So there's a slight Nana Muscuri thing going on, which is not unpleasant.
Here's the thing, right? Nana Muscuri gets a lot of stick, right? She's just Lisa Loeb from Greece 20 years before Lisa Loeb.
Yeah.
And look what happened to her.
Well, I think she's had a slightly lengthier career than...
Who?
Lisa Loeb.
Lisa Loeb, and do you know what Lisa Loeb does now?
Yeah, sells glasses.
She sells glasses by the shoe store. Lisa, now is it Loeb?
Loeb.
Or Loeb, like ear Loeb.
I think the Americans say Loeb.
Some people.
But they also say Craig.
They also say Graham instead of Graham.
Yeah.
They also say herb instead of herb. Some people, including everybody else who lives in my house, it's a genetic thing. This is where genetics... This is why I do think that stem cell research is an excellent thing. Forget the diseases, OK? I'm not even sure we should be using stem cell research for diseases. I'm
so
not sure.
So what are you using it for?
This is what I want to use it for if my patent is accepted by Peter Jones from Dragon's Den.
Right.
No one else in my house. There are three other people that live in my house. Okay, so 20...
Do you know them? The way you talk about them, it's like you don't know them.
Do we know anybody, Catherine?
Mm.
Do we?
I
mean, really? Do we? They always, whenever you get a murderer on the telly, right, they go to the next door neighbour. They don't do it so much these days. He was such a lovely bloke. He didn't seem the type.
No, because these days everyone goes, what a weirdo, he definitely done it.
But they also, but also, no one ever seems the murderous type. No one seems the murderous type. Unless they're, you know, coming home at 11 o'clock at night with bloody knives and, you know, with big lumps of carpet rolled up.
No, but some people are clearly mercurial. I mean, I can think of people in this office who were possibly capable of extreme violence.
Yes. Julia Hartley Brewer. Is that, is
that, I could think of some people. Just, that wasn't just, what I was thinking
let's
necessarily.
Just for a legal reason, we need to hover over that statement. Have we libelled her?
No, because I didn't say that. I didn't confirm that's who I was thinking of.
Okay, but
you just suggested someone in the office.
No, but you mouthed it to me.
No, I didn't.
Well, you did, though. And this is the thing. If we were now in a court of law, a place I may be very soon, I would have to say, I will not shut up. I will have to say that she mouthed, you're doing it again, you're mouthing shut up. And now I can actually hear you saying that. did you sworn under oath? And I would do that. You know, you can get the Christian oath, the Muslim oath, or the atheist's oath.
Don't know oath. The don't know oath.
Yeah, which is basically, I really promise on my mum's life that I am not going to lie to you today, Judge.
Honestly and promisedly, as they say in Charlie Nola.
If you've ever lied in court, dear listener, 0844 499 1000, please. If
I don't think that's something people are going to admit to.
Well, I don't mean...
That's perjury.
Yeah, exactly.
Not wanting to get all heavy on your backside.
You
but
can
that's
say
perjury.
Ass. You can probably say
I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it.
But the thing is, right, I'm not saying that if you perjured someone and they went to prison for a murder... Or a sex crime.
Yeah, but any line's perjury.
Do you remember? Here's the song from the 80s that never gets played on radio. Do you remember this? Who's this by? Sex, sex crime, sex crime, sex crime.
Metal Mickey?
No. And do you know who directed Metal Mickey? Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees, who's coming on the show soon,
oh,
yes.
Right.
Sex, sex crime, sex. It was a big hit, right?
What was it called?
Sex. Sex crime.
No, I know that's the chorus, but what was it called?
I'm not really sure. It was.
How did it go?
Sex, sex crime, sex. I'll play it to you. Here we go. It's called Sex Crime, right?
Oh, right.
And this is how it goes. Have a listen to this.
Crime, crime.
Sounds like Eurythmics.
Yeah?
Is it Eurythmics?
It's the Eurythmics, yeah. I'm sure it says, they say sex crime. Okay, your starter for 10. What was this the theme tune to? It was the theme tune to a movie. Sex crime. Sex crime.
Was it the theme tune to... Oh. Was it the theme tune to... I'm thinking... Basic Instinct. That was a sex crime.
Here we go. I want to get... Sex crime. Here we go. Sex crime. Sex.
Sex crime.
Gosh.
Yeah. All together now.
Crime.
1984 was the film. The film was 1984. 1984, the movie of the book.
Oh, I didn't know there was a movie of the
book. Yeah, with John Hurt. And this is the theme. We go.
Oh, right. That's how they made it relevant. Because otherwise it's just...
Sex crime. Sexy crime. Well. 0844. 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You're more than welcome to. I was following a train of thought there and I've got hideously lost and I haven't got my thought map
Let's
with
go
me.
Backwards. I know where we were.
Yep.
DNA, stem cell research.
Oh, yeah. So 75% of the people in my house don't have earlobes.
Oh.
They don't have earlobes. They have the perfectly... The ear is just perfectly curved.
You know that's a criminal thing.
Well, it's a sex crime. Oh, actually, well, I need you to clip. Hang on. Oh, hang on. Sex crime. I need you to clip that.
All right.
We'll have a lot of fun with that.
Can you?
I normally last 3.5 years. They haven't got the lobe a bit.
Yeah, I heard that that's a sign, I mean, if you believe in all that nonsense, of a criminal mind.
You're thinking of, what's that film, The Persuasion Effect? The Persuaders. Mission Impossible 3.
Mm-hmm. Cool Runnings.
No, In Vitro. What's the film?
Mighty Ducks.
No.
One or two.
Howard the Duck. No, the film where... Minority Report.
I'm not, because I've never seen it.
I saw it on a bootleg DVD. I saw a lot of the films from the late 90s, early 2000s, on bootleg DVD. So I have seen a lot of movies without their special effects.
I've seen a lot of movies...
Special FX.
Okay.
FX. FX, of course, is actually a special effect because they've made a word out of letters. It's an illusion. It's an illusory word. I've got to throw some topics out. Got to throw some meat to the wild animals.
Go on then, I'll just move out the way.
Oh, wait, 4-4-4-9-9-1000. Illusory words, like special FX. Pop stars, or anybody in the public eye, celebrities, that haven't changed their look. Because I'm watching Annie Lennox singing...
Edmonds.
I'm watching Annie Lennox sing Sex Crime, and I'm thinking, well, she looks the same as she does now. So we've got Lennox, May, and Edmonds. And you can only describe them with their surname, if that's at all possible. 0844-499-1000. Give us a call. We'll call you back, guys. That's the Ian Lee guarantee. I'm not talking up to a break. I was doing my up to a break voice. But there's still plenty of flesh on the bone.
Do you want me to manoeuvre back?
Yeah, sure. I'm having great trouble. I've fixed these headphones with Sellotape, but it's not working, so I'm having
strange.
To... Go on.
I saw a lot of early noughties... not naughty videos, but early noughties videos.
Yes.
Hooky ones as well, because my sister was a cabin crew at that time. So I've seen a lot of films with men getting up to go to the toilet halfway through.
What films were that, sorry?
What did I see that there was that way?
That was that way?
Can't remember. Anyway, noughties films, and then halfway through, a Chinaman would stand up and go to the toilet.
What? Hang on a minute. Sorry, I'm.
She used to get them from Hong Kong, and she'd get them in bulk, and half of them had nothing on, some of them had something on, and a lot of them had men shuffling off to the loo on.
Here's one thing I don't get. Right, is at what age do children stop going into the toilets of the opposite sex with their parents?
Right.
At what age is that? Because we went swimming today, and it's a... By the way, guys, I forgot to mention, it's a swimming pool sweat special. Any stories about swimming pools, including... Here's a thing that got me thinking today. Who invented swimming pools and why? It's a weird thing, isn't it, right? When water is... I've given you the answer here. What's the most precious commodity on earth at the moment? Love to one side. We could all do with more love. Love has been rationed, and someone needs to burn those ration books and open the love banks. No, I don't mean love banks like that. That's horrible. Oh, that'd be disgusting.
Oh, the love bank.
No, I didn't mean that.
Is that another name for
it? Yeah, that's the more romantic one.
Oh.
But I know what the combination is for it. I know what the combination is for the bank.
Go on.
6969. Now... That's high-frequency filth, so any young people listening won't get it. The mums and dads are having a ride. Something a bit blue for the dad.
They should be in bed anyway.
A little bit blue for the dad. It's half-term.
Oh.
I think kids are allowed to smoke during half-term.
No.
I tell you what, let's have an ad break, and then when we come back, we'll start the show, yeah?
If you want. I mean,
sweet ass.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Of a dream floating down on the tide, following the river and death down the stream, or isn't it a dream? fog along the horizon. A strange glow in the sky.
That's our tribute to Ronnie Corbett, who died today. Not Ronnie Barker, as it said on Paul Ross's Twitter. Not Ronnie Barker, as it said on Paul Ross's Twitter. Now, I'm sure it wasn't Paul that sent that tweet himself.
He knows.
He knows all the treacherous pose, the fallen arches and the cramp in the toes. Which band sang that song?
No idea.
Here we go. He knows all the treacherous pose, the fallen arches and the cramp in the toes. Take good care of your feet, Pete. You better watch out what you eat, Pete. Better take it easy because no one else will.
Oh, I know. Little Mix.
No, close. Beach Boys. The Beach Boys did a song about feet on the same album. They did a song called A Day in the Life of a Tree, sung by their manager, about, let me get this right, A Day in the Life of a Tree.
Is that in the same album where they did She's Going Bald and Vegetables?
No.
I'm
going to be around my vegetables. I'm going to chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favourite vegetable. It's actually spelt vegetables. If you brought a big brown bag of them home, I'd jump up and down and hope you tossed me a carrot. That's the Beach Boys. Now imagine, right, the Beach Boys started singing about vegetables, right?
Yeah.
So all of their songs are about vegetables, right? And then about 6 years after they started, around about 1968, they started singing about surfing and girls and cars. And everyone's going, do you remember the Beach Boys? I remember they did those weird songs about the surfing? Yeah, was it the surf about bushy blonde hairdos and stuff? Weird. I wish they'd go back and do the vegetable music.
Yeah, why the carrot song.
Why aren't they doing the vegetable music? That's what I want to know. We've had a good suggestion. I've typed in Beach Boys into the search engine, and instead I actually typed in Beach Bogies.
Oh. Is there such a thing?
I'm tempted to see what...
There's Sandy.
Here we go. Hang on a second. Here we go. It's a musical show this evening. Why not in honour of... I'm going to be round. It's the Beach Boys, guys. Vegetables. I'm going to chop down my vegetables. Love you most of all. My favourite vegetable. Pan pipes. Pour them water. They're on drugs. If you brought a big brown bag of them home, I'd jump up and down and hope you toss me a carrot. I'm gonna keep well my vegetables card off. Imagine, right, this is the biggest hit they'd ever had, right?
It should have been.
And they do a concert in 2015 at the Royal Albert Hall, and they go off, right? And they come out and they do an encore, and then they go off again. Everyone goes, I think that's it. It can't be! They've not sung vegetables! Here they come! All together now! I tried to kick the ball, and everyone gets out their celery and starts chomping. Oh, alternate universes. As a bee, 'cause I'm so embarrassed. Comes the comedy bit. Oh, no, it's not. It's a different version. And you can say with... Yeah, oh, yeah. Here we go. You wait till I play Hey Little Tomboy by the Beach Boys later on. Oh, that's what we're going to play. Hey Little Tomboy. It is creepy. Here we go. Shh, shh, shh. This is beautiful. I know that you feel better when you send us in your letter and tell us the name of your favourite vegetable. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beach Boys singing about vegetables. Penny's been waiting for a long time. Good evening, Penny.
I was enjoying the music.
It's good, isn't it? Isn't it good?
It is.
The Beach Boys. I've
learnt all about the Beach Boys.
You've not learnt all about them. We've not had Hey Little Tomboy with the spoken bit in the middle, which really is, for a group of men approaching 40 at the time, it really is highly, highly inappropriate. I do hope the officers of Yew Tree have questioned them about that song.
You told me once that She's Going Bald isn't about hair loss.
No, She's Going Bald is about... It's about a man and a woman having a lot of fun. The man's probably having more fun than the woman.
Right.
Penny, what you got for us?
I was going to give you a swimming pool story.
Beautiful! Swimming pool story!
I've got two, actually. The weird one, I went yesterday, took the kids to the swimming lesson.
Yep.
afterwards, we're drying the hair, and I look at this woman next to me, and I think she looks familiar. She looks very familiar. It was only Ribena Rosie.
What the heck?
I thought you were going to say
it was you. I've done that thing, right, where I've stared someone out. Stared them out, only to speak to them and realise it's a mirror or a reflection. A reflection in a dark, in, you know, like dark wood or something. And it's me.
I've done that.
It's so me. Here's the thing, right. We went to the swimming pool today, right, the leisure pool. And it's packed, it's half term, and the water was a very faint shade of yellow. Very
nice.
Tangy. It was tangy today.
Aye.
They have family changing rooms and they have male changing rooms. Mm. And all of the family changing rooms were full, apart from one. I said, right, boys, we're having that. There was no door on it.
Oh.
Now, I aborted very early on. I said, this isn't going to work, right? But then there were some young lads and they went and used it. And the door, that's got to be, they were like in their teens. That's inappropriate. I mean, like 16, 15,
16. Were you standing
16.
Outside the door looking in the whole
time? I had to loiter outside the family changing rooms.
You were loitering.
There's a sentence.
This is where our story comes from. Because, as you say, there's never enough family changing rooms. We were at the pool one Saturday, me and my husband, daughter who was about 3 at the time, and her little brother who was probably about 6 months. So we finally get in a cubicle. We're all getting ready to go swimming and everything. And at this point, my daughter's kind of getting used to just having a little baby brother and the fact that boys are different to girls.
Yeah.
Suddenly, it all goes quiet. My daughter, top of her voice, goes, "Wow, Daddy, you've got such a big wee."
Way! Wowzers!
Well, it could have been slightly worse.
We start laughing. That just encourages us. So she keeps commenting on the size difference and all the rest of it. We can hear people in the adjoining cubicle sniggering at this point.
Yeah.
And then, of course, at the end, we've got to come out the cubicle. Yeah. There's all these other parents.
He comes out and gets a round of applause. Well done.
Well, my husband said he didn't know whether or not to look embarrassed or just to kind of nod and take the accolades, you know.
Yeah, well, it's swimming. Why? The public swimming pools are a weird, weird thing. Don't you think, Penny, that we go
and we
get... I mean, today was... I knew it would be round, but the boys absolutely love it. And it was the first swimming time we'd had together where neither of them used armbands. It was a triumph. And it was just, but to go, and you're standing semi-nude with hundreds of people in water that is filled with pee. And you're brushing body, you know, I brushed past so many hairy men. It's I paid about 12 quid for this.
Wow.
It's a weird thing, isn't it?
It's not nice at all. I do it every single week. I take my kids to a swimming lesson and get in the pool and swim and, I don't like it.
Penny, thank you very much. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We're asking as well, it's swimming pool stories. You can call in about anything, by the way, guys. I have to keep saying that because there'll be some people who are old-fashioned in their approach to radio and they think, he's talking about swimming pools. I have no stories. I won't call in. You can call in about anything. We're talking about earlobes, stem cell research, swimming pools, celebrities that haven't changed their look. Edmonds, May, Lennox, and somebody on Twitter, of course, has suggested the Crankies.
Oh, I've got one as well.
Yeah.
Rippon.
Yeah, Rippon. We'll have that. I suppose...
She's still holding on to those scrunchies.
Yeah. I suppose it's more pop stars, isn't it? Because pop stars tend to move with the time. Mm. May has stuck his fingers up at time.
Even Rossi's buckled and got rid of the baldy pony.
Who?
Rossi.
Oh, I thought you meant Wossy.
No, Rossi.
Let's do David first, and then we'll talk about Watership Down. Yes, David.
Now you're better being. You're very good at that, mate. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you very much, boss. What you got?
I'm not bad, Catherine. How are you?
Oh, I'm happening.
No, that's none of your business, fella. Back away. Back away from the wee lassie. Back away from the wee lassie.
Ian, can you let me speak, please? Thank you. Sorry, Catherine. What you said?
Oh, don't back away from the wee lassie.
No, I was saying hi to you. You wouldn't let me speak.
Listen.
No, go on, you can speak. Go on, let David speak. Go on, David.
Yes, Catherine.
Oh, I accidentally cut him off. It's so easy to do on this touchscreen system. Oh, wait.
David, since you're asking, I can't smile wide enough. That's how I am.
What?
Well, that's what you say.
That's a really unpleasant turn of phrase.
I know.
0844-499-1000. David, you're more than welcome to call back up if you want to have another crack of the whip, but you really need to adhere to the rules.
When you say crack of the whip, what do you mean?
I mean, oh gosh, I nearly said something awful then.
A run at it?
So here's the thing. I've got. I'm going to explain this, right? I got given new meds yesterday, right, to go with my current meds, right? And the doctor said, this might make you a bit drowsy. You take these ones at night. It's antidepressants. And they're not sleeping tablets. No, they're antidepressants. Metotraxine or something. I don't know what it is. And he said, it might make you a bit sleepy. Right, I'm going to give you a small dose. See how you get on with it. I popped one last night. And since then, I have just been like one of the walking dead. Actually, and when I say one of the walking dead, I don't mean egg. I mean one of the actual zombies from the walking dead. I slept. I was crawling around. I got home. And the tablet with the draft was taking effect. They don't call it a sleeping draft anymore, do they?
No, they should. It sounds a lot more romantic.
And I was crawling around my bedroom on my knees trying to do stuff. And I thought, oh, do you know what, actually? I'm crawling. I should probably get into bed.
It's a sign.
I woke up at 10:30 and could have slept for the rest of the day. And all day I've just been, huh? What? Huh? So heaven knows what this show is sounding like, whether it's sounding like the slurred ramblings of a lunatic. Give him another chance, Ed. We'll give him another chance. Whether it's sounding like the slurred ramblings of a lunatic or not, I don't know.
You sound a bit giddy, but I think it's because you're pushing through it.
He also said you might get an appetite, right? He said, so just be careful. And what he meant is you're going to get fat. And I was like, yeah, side effects, whatever. And on the way in, I had a Ginsters, a big packet of Cadbury's Counters. They're like minstrels, but with less work. They're less effort than minstrels. Yeah. You can suck them. And a big packet of fruit pastels. I don't even really like more than three fruit pastels. A whole big packet.
They graze your mouth, don't they?
Then I had all of the biscuit in dans la chambre, here.
The couquoise.
And I'm still hungry. I'm thinking of getting a kebab on the way home.
Really?
Yeah. Here's an interesting thing. You know one of the side effects of antidepressants?
Not being depressed?
No. And this is the thing, and it was in the papers a few months ago, and I thought, yeah, everyone knows that. Maybe they don't. Whenever people get prescribed antidepressants, not all of them, but a significant percentage of them, one of the side effects is... I've been told this so many times. Yeah, these antidepressants, they may make you feel suicidal. Excuse me? It's true. One of the side effects of the common antidepressant is you may feel suicidal. Anybody see a problem with that? 0844 499 1000.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Find new places to go, whoa, whoa. You could see that boys love you so, whoa, whoa. They're doing it all over the world.
Hey, little tomboy.
Time you turned into a girl.
They're all approaching 40. This has also got a spoken word bit in the middle that was not on the released version. You'll know why. Brian's beautiful voice gone. Don't do drugs or smoke. Girl, you could be.
I smell perfume. Let's try some cut-off jeans. Look at all the changes I see.
Uh-oh, it's the Beach Boys, guys.
I'm gonna teach you to kiss. You're gonna feel just like this.
Guys, Beach Boys? Beach Boys? Anybody?
Ovaries are recoiling in horror.
You've not got to the worst bit yet, Kath.
Oh.
You wait till they've got the girl. They're stood in a circle and she's in the middle.
Shut up.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Would you please welcome the Beach Boys. Grooming.
Okay, put on a little lipstick. Let's see what it looks like.
I'm gonna make you a girl.
Now let's put a dress on and wear a little makeup. Okay?
You make a beautiful girl.
Okay, now shave your legs now for your first time.
You tomboy.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome to the stage? And they are booed off as they walk off stage.
Was that a pig noise before they made her over?
I'd forgotten, but they played that once, and this was the reaction that they received. Oh, no, my buttons don't work. It really is.
It's horrible.
It's the Beach Boys, right? That one of the greatest bands in the world. That record actually came out. Not with the speaking bit at the end. They took the speaking bit off, the released version. But still as a concept for a song, Hey Little Tomboy, I'm going to teach you to kiss. You're going to feel just like this. All right, Savile. You know, it really
horrible.
Is. Isn't it horrible? David's back. Yes, David, try again.
I'm back. How you doing?
Good to have you back, boss. Go on, what you got?
No, you're right. What was I talking about earlier?
Not a clue.
No, what I was saying was, I was saying hi to Catherine, and you didn't let me speak.
Go on.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, David.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right, yeah. I'm good. Had a good week listening to you two.
Oh, well, that's... I'm glad.
Well, apart from you having to put keeping in check. One of these things, eh?
Mm.
Yeah. You had a good week?
Well, fair to middling. Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Good. Very good. Busy.
Yeah.
I'll be glad when it's the weekend.
Well, that's that. Yeah, that's it. I know I've enjoyed the station all week and enjoyed the show as well, but I do get listening till 1 in the morning.
Wow. Don't you have to get up for work?
No. No, I listen to the news to 1 and then click on tomorrow again. What is this?
Oh, nothing.
No, is that even playing background music? Why am I going red?
Don't squeeze it so hard.
No, I'm not. I'm going red. I don't know why. So hopefully you guys have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, David.
That's not at all. And pleasure talking to you.
See, you're getting upset that people are slagging you off on Digital Spy and stuff, right?
That's the alternative,
That's literally the alternative that's on offer, is having men going red while they listen to you on the radio.
Oh, dear.
Red-faced and out of breath while they listen to you on the radio. Is that what you want, Catherine? Because that's what you're going to get.
But how can they, though? Because I talk about skids.
Oh, don't.
You know, I'm not trying to be alluring at all, but, you know, I suppose... Natural charm will out.
We got Miles Hunt from The Wonder Stuff on. Should we do about 11:30?
Yeah.
How long is it?
Like 20 minutes.
Well, you can do some wicked back counting so that we can play it for... Are we playing it in one chunk?
What are you smoking that pen for? You've got to give that stuff up.
We can play it in one chunk, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So you have to do some back counting so we can finish at midnight. So it'll be about 25 to something like that. All right, guys? Cass going to do back counting. Do you know what I mean by that?
Ed? Yeah, Ed does.
Okay. Gary!
Hello, dear.
Hello, Gary!
How you doing?
Do you know what? I'm not doing brilliantly.
Oh.
I'm going to tell you why.
Well, I think I heard you say your buttons weren't working earlier. That could be something.
And my buttons are right. My headphones aren't working, but I'm enjoying it, actually. I'm having to hold a wire onto a piece of metal for my headphones to work. And I'm kind of enjoying that because it's making me look like I'm lounging leisurely across the desk. When actually, this thumb is working. I'll tell you why I'm not happy, right? Someone, and I forget his name, I've deliberately chosen to forget his name, has sent me a copy on DVD of... I'm going to read the description, Gary. You tell me if you can guess what the film is, right?
I'll just ask you a pause for a minute. After you've told me, I'll tell you why I'm ringing as well.
Oh, yeah, well, you see what he's done there? And that's good. You've got to respect that. He's flagged up that he's actually got a point he wants to make.
Absolutely.
And if he doesn't make the point, he's going to be unhappy.
You know what's going on here? He's not playing games.
He wants to bring a point to the conversation that's has so far been missed in the debate.
He's got a point there, and he wants to show you it.
Yeah. Well, I might let him.
You first.
One fine evening... In the beautiful heart of the English countryside, a group of rabbits emerge from their warren to feed. But as the sun sinks behind a hill, one of their number, Fiver, has a terrifying vision of the warren's destruction at the hands of man. But what is the film?
Hurts me.
All right, we'll carry on. In this film, Watership Down, Fiver... with his brother Hazel and a few of their friends, flee the warren in search of a high, lonely place where they will be safe. Enduring danger and adventure, they find the place of their dreams until a new shadow falls upon them. But what was the film?
You completely lost me.
Okay, I'll read a bit more. In this magnificent animation of the story Watership Down, young and old alike will find themselves transported into the beauty, darkness and adventure of the natural world that is Watership Down. So what is the film?
Oh, Watership Down.
Yeah, well done. We got it after six mentions. Hang on a minute.
What's he won?
Hang on a minute. I just want to... He can win this blooming DVD because I don't want to watch it. Let me just put the DVD in. Hang on a second. Hang on. Let's put it in. Hang on. Let me just press play. Let's see what it sounds like. Hang on 1 second. Hang on. Here we go. Oh, here we go. It's starting.
Is it a kind of a dream? Floating down on the tide.
You can't beat Art Garfunkel's voice.
Beautiful.
You can't beat Art Garfunkel. And boy, oh boy, I don't know why. I found it so hilarious, Gary, when I discovered that Art Garfunkel's name was Arthur Garfunkel. His name's Arthur. Art is short for Arthur. Well, I didn't know that until I was like about 28. And I remember
it being...
Well, I worked it out. I worked it out about 14 years ago, but still a lot later than perhaps I should have worked it out.
You know he's playing Glasto this year?
Who is?
Arthur Garfunkel.
He better be headlining.
Well, no, he's not.
He better be bald headlining.
I don't think he is. He's just playing it.
Is he coming on our show?
Yeah.
What's happening with Graham Nash that you balled
up? Oh, that, yeah, that's all in hand.
Okie dokie. I tell you who we have got coming on, Gary.
Who?
Danny Baker's going to come on.
Oh, nice one.
John Ronson's coming on. Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees is coming on.
Right.
And was there another email we sent out? Margot Gurian's coming on, but you won't know who she is, but you should know. She's hopefully going to come on.
I mean, negotiations with Viv Albertine.
Viv Albertine's coming on as well. We have got some stellar guests coming on.
Rhys Thomas.
Rhys Thomas is coming. Rhys Thomas is coming on, the director of the excellent Brian Pern story. Who else has got... Dean Torrance from Jan and Dean is hopefully coming on. Mm-hmm.
That again is in the pipeline.
Busy show, Gary. Busy show. So get to your point, mate. This is all happening tonight.
Okay, right. Stupid people.
Oh.
Oh, dear. Well, hang on a minute. Stay there because this may take longer than we need.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So the Beach Boys remade their first ever single, Surfing, in the 90s, when, you know, rap was at its peak. Enjoy. This is one of my favourite bands, but they've done some real clunkers, guys. Here we go. The Beach Boys and their remake of Surfing. It's just, you just think, oh, lovely Carl Wilson. It's Beach Boy Turkey Night, guys. Here's another one. Here's another one. Hang on, here we go. I can't wait till summer, 'cause it's gonna be a summer of love. Hey now. Well, it's a love thing. People all around the world in every nation like to get together for some. We're watching the video. They're on the set of Baywatch. Appreciate her recreation. Why don't you let me
take you on a love vacation? Yeah, I'll take you to... Are they their daughters? I'm a fool. Wow. Those bikini bottoms were pulled up high, weren't they?
Yep.
Those days. Willing it to others is the golden rule. But
doing it with you would be so very cool.
Oh,
yes! Doing it to do unto others is the golden rule, but doing it with you would be so very cool. I wonder if that line has ever worked. 0844 499 1000. Gary!
Hello, dear.
You wanted to talk about... Oh, shut up. You wanted to talk about idiots.
Yes.
So let me introduce you to Russ.
I'm not playing this game.
Go on, away you go, Gary. Speak to Russ about idiots.
Come on, Gary. Tell me about idiots.
Okay. Briefly, I do online radio shows, right?
Yeah.
I've got a show on one station.
All right.
And yesterday, I saw an advert for another station asking for volunteers. So I applied, yeah?
Yeah.
I marked in the email clearly to the bloke exactly what I do and the fact I want to bring that same format to his station. He replies to me and asks me to explain yet again what I do and why I want to come to his station. So I write it, I write it all out again. Then he proceeds to tell me that his station takes shows from a network of other stations and not and just exclusive content, and they're not interested in me. I thought, well, why didn't you just bloody state that in the beginning instead of making me waste my time, you stupid idiot?
Well, yeah, I'll see where you're coming from there, you know.
That's why I wanted to rant it tonight on air, because I was so hopping mad. It took me half an hour to write that bloody thing and all.
Well, maybe talk radio might have,
No.
I heard that.
No. No. Hang on, so what are you angry about? The fact you had to write an email for a job and you didn't get the job?
It's not so much that, it's the fact he didn't tell me that they don't take...
Or maybe he was just well, did you not research the station enough when you applied for the job?
Yes, so you even listened into a bit of one awful DJ that was on air.
Okay. Oh. Well, does your current boss know that you're looking for work elsewhere?
Yes, and they're fine with it.
You have to... That's a dangerous game to play. Because I've played that game before and been caught out and ended up between two stools. Literal Ow. Stools. Russ, you're a man of the world. I bet you've seen a few sights, eh, Russ? But you've seen a few things, eh?
Depends what kind of sights you mean.
You know exactly what sights I mean. Haven't you? Hey, haven't you?
Enlighten me.
Oh, I think you're enlightened enough, young man. You think I'm winking and I'm nudging. You've seen a naked lady is what I'm trying to get to.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah? Nice one.
I think so.
Can I ask you a question, Russ? What's it like?
It's rather beautiful.
Okay, lovely. Any advice for Gary here?
Gary, does he need advice in this department?
Not the naked ladies, Russ. About the emails, not the naked ladies.
Oh, you've lost me there.
Okay.
No, it's still the naked ladies.
I'd sack it, Gary. Sack the idea.
I haven't seen a naked lady in bloody years.
Yeah, well. You can get magazines these days, anyway. Gary. You're a 90s fan. I'm sure you've got a great stash. Gary, listen, best of luck. Keep looking for something, I'm sure. Russ.
How are you?
Hello, Russ.
I've got a few bits to talk about.
Well, I'll be the judge of that. Well, give us your best bit, and I'll see whether it warrants going on to the second bit.
Well, I've got a bit of a debate to start, a fun debate.
We're having a fun debate.
That's coming last, right? Oh. First of all,
hang on a minute. You've got a fun debate to start, but that's coming last.
No, that's coming last. First of all...
So the first thing you've kicked off with is flagging up what your last thing is going to be. Hoping against hope that I'm so intrigued by the fun debate.
No,
it sounds hellish.
I think you'll like this. I think you'll like it.
I bet I don't.
Well, just bear with me.
Okay.
Right. First of all, I wanted to say, I'm getting to know you because I didn't know you, and... I'm enjoying listening to you,
and
I really, really, I just want to say I commend and respect your honesty and openness about
liking the Beach Boys. I know it's a brave, bold man that will admit that I know all of the words to "Hey Little Tomboy."
About your depression, wearing sunglasses, and
what?
You were talking earlier about wearing sunglasses when you used to get high.
I don't think I said I wore sunglasses. Oh, no, I didn't wear sunglasses.
Not sunglasses.
Glasses. Why am I saying glasses? You're rubbing off on me. Your accent's rubbing off on me.
Yeah, no, anyway, big respect to you, mate. I like your openness. I respect that.
Well, it's the thing that will either get me fired or shot.
Well, no, I think it's good to be open. And if people don't like it, then tough. before I come to that debate...
Where's the fun debate? I'm really looking forward... Cathy, you looking forward to the fun debate?
I can't wait for the fun debate. Is that going to happen soon?
I've just made half a dozen homemade Scotch eggs.
Filthy
there
devil.
We go, ladies and gentlemen. If anybody has made anything today, 0844 499 1000. It really is a hodgepodge today. Swimming pools, catheters, sleep, comas, celebrities that haven't changed their look, and what have you made today?
I made a computer.
You did? Oh, did you make the cano?
Yeah, and I followed their instructions and it didn't work, and then I freestyled and it did.
Well, you followed the instructions wrong. What did you do wrong?
It was to do with the sound.
It takes a while for it to. You have to get to a certain stage before the sound works. The sound isn't on straight away.
It worked straight. Well, it worked first off. I could hear it, and then when it got to the bit where it said "now test it," it wasn't working.
Well, so you did it wrong.
So I redid it the way it said to do it. Didn't work.
Yeah.
So then
this
I put
bit,
it back.
This is a bit boring.
No, it's going to get to a good bit in a minute.
I was going to go back to the Scotch eggs because that sounds more interesting than
They're
this.
Delicious. And then I rewired it and it worked.
Beautiful. These kind of computers are excellent, by the way. Anyway, yes, Ross, you made six Scotch eggs.
Yes, with free-range eggs.
Oh.
And I've put whole grain mustard and Coleman's English mustard in with the sausage meat. Mm.
You know that free-range doesn't mean what we think it means?
These are off a friend who's got them in his backyard, these
okay. Because generally, free-range, it's not much better than battery.
No,
yeah, but no. I think you're confusing it with barn. Barn isn't that much better than
battery. No. There was a thing in the papers yesterday the picture of a free range he sounds like he's loading up a Spectrum game. A free range chicory, right? And it was not much better than battery.
Oh.
It was not much better than battery. When we went to stay on the farm once, when I was about seven, we stayed on the farm in Cornwall, I think it was. And the farmer said, "Do you want to come and see the chicks, me and my sister, one morning?" We went, "Yeah, of course we do." And we went in and he took us into this massive warehouse where there must have been about 20,000 hens. It was the most horrific thing.
But it stank, didn't it?
Oh, it was horrible. And the noise, jeez, the noise. And we both came out in tears. It was horrific. Horrific.
Anyway, whole grain mustard.
Yes, it's my little concoction. Just before I come to the
Ross,
on the subject of Scotch eggs, and you mentioned Ginsters earlier.
Yeah,
whatever happened to the Ginsters buffet bar? Do you remember that? It was like an oblong.
Russ.
Hello.
I've got to cut you off now.
Oh, hang on. Let me. Oh, the
well, no, you should have got to the fun debate first. Hang on a second. Production meeting. He should have got to the fun debate first.
Really.
I'll be honest. All of this has been pony.
I would have led with it. I mean, I do like Scotch eggs.
He would have curried favour with me.
Catherine, with the the way she was talking to the Scottish guy. This is what the debate's about, right?
Oh, here we go. He's steamrolled it in.
Why?
Yeah.
You mentioned. Which is something I don't like hearing ladies talk about, is skids, right? Now, this
No, do you know why I'm talking about...
No, let him carry on.
This has led me on to, right...
The fun debate is about the state of your pants, Russ...
Two things as well, Russ. I'm not young and I'm not a lady, but carry on.
I'd like... If I was in power, I would make it illegal for females to...
Female censorship.
In the company... Of men.
Thanks, Ross. There we go. That's
and that's
gone.
If he ruled the world.
Where's the fun part of that debate?
The reason I was talking about skids was about...
I don't want to go there.
Well, MasterChef, I wasn't talking about toilets.
I was talking about
the sauce presentation.
So far, 0844 499 1000. So far, we've got celebrities that haven't changed their looks. We've got Edmund, May, Lennox, the Crankies, and Rippon. I wonder if there's anybody else. Daltrey's changes his looks all the time.
Mm.
From the sort of short skinhead, moddy look to the golden lion trestles of the deaf, dumb and blind kid, Tommy.
Forsyth.
Beautiful. That is beautiful. Hey, Kay hasn't changed his looks, has he, Vernon?
Not really, no.
Okay, yeah, works for him. We'll put Kay down.
We're getting quite a nice list there.
I'm a big Vernon Kay fan. I like Vernon. I've met Vernon. I've not met him for years, but every time I met him, he's always been an absolute delight to me.
Mm.
He used to phone up when I was on another radio station as Mark in the Park. Hey, it's Mark in the Park.
Oh.
I've lost all my custard creams. And no one knew it was him. And I used to love him for doing that. Come on, guys. He's getting right. He's been stupid. He's not murdered anybody. He's not raped anybody. You know, there are murderers and rapists out there. What he's done is stupid and not very nice. But, I mean, in the great scheme of things, stop trying to destroy... It's not.
Everyone just enjoys pointing at laughing at someone who is richer and better looking than they are. That's what it is.
It's not that big a deal, really. I mean, and also it's private. It's, yeah, but, and everyone's having a... Vernon, good. And ITV and BBC said today, we're going to stand by him. Vernon, I warn you now, the BBC won't. They're just saying that. They said they were going to stand by me and then they shafted me royally. We'll stand by you, Ian. By the way, you don't work here anymore, so I wouldn't trust them. ITV will. I just think, poor old Vernon, you know, there are people out there, can't think of anything that people are doing.
Doing all sorts.
Doing all sorts. And all he's done is send some texts to a lady who, you know...
And he says his wife knows.
Exactly. So let's... Good luck to both of them, I say. 0844... Good luck to all three of them, apart, you know.
And her fiancé.
Exactly. Oh, good luck to all... good luck to everybody.
Everybody.
Except for Russ. I'd like to see him take that fun debate to LBC. Oh, actually, Russ, could you? And then could you tape it and send me the recording? 0844 499 1000. Ian Lee, Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Well, I think we've established quite a lot in the first hour of the show. Controversy, it's kicking off on Twitter, and who'd have thought this would be the thing that gets everybody angry? The list of celebrities that haven't changed their look. Well, I've included a controversial figure in Vernon Kay. James Buckley, star of The Inbetweeners, and many, many other things, the name of which escaped me at the moment, is going, Kay changed his look. It was big news when he cut off his mop top. We'll continue this debate after the news on Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We're playing Beach Boy Stinkers. I don't think this is a stinker, but this is their ill-advised foray into disco. Robo Beach Boys, listen. It's 12 minutes long, this. I love this. They did play this once, and they did get booed. Yes, it was 2 years after the disco had peaked, but, you know... We'll have this playing in the background. Evening, dear listener. Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844 499 1000. After midnight, we'll take your call straight to air. Before midnight, we'll have Miles Hunt from The Wonder Stuff on, who is just... Well, you'll hear about the row I had with him on Twitter years ago, and he takes it in very good stead. He's just a delight. Celebrities that haven't changed their look so far. Edmonds, Brian May, Lennox, Crankies, Rippon, Forsyth. And yes, you're right, Mr. Buckley. But there was excitement and furore when Vernon Kay chopped off his mullet, wasn't there? Yeah, so we'll take him off the list. He's gone. Swimming pool stories. Oh, have you ever been... Oh... Over 2 minutes in, they've still not started singing properly yet. If you've ever been an understudy in the school play or indeed the West End, because the temptation would be not to learn the part, wouldn't it? Not to learn it.
Here comes the night. Oh, here comes the night. Oh, oh. Here comes.
See, I love that. I genuinely think this is brilliant. I love the Beach Boys so much. The temptation would be not to learn the words. And then you get that phone call saying, yeah, I'm afraid that... Hang on, let me think of an actor. Hang on. Derek Griffiths is ill tonight. You're going to have to go on. What the... And we haven't got time for the singing. You took too long to get there, Carl, I'm afraid. 3 minutes and 7 seconds is a ridiculous time for an introduction. Songs with longer introductions than 3 minutes and 7 seconds as well. 0844 499 1000. Simon's called in and we called him back and he's now on the radio. Yes, Simon?
Hi, I just wondered if you would be interested in helping me build a time machine.
That's weird. We have.
We have.
Maybe you haven't, but I. Where are you calling from, Simon?
I'm calling from Nottingham.
Yeah. We. Oh. It worked!
Oh, you mean. Hang on, what's the date today?
Let me just get my phone. It's Thursday, the 31st of March, 2016.
Wait, hang on. What was the code word? I was supposed to say something. Hang on. Was it butterfly?
That was the original code word when you went back the first time, but you know that you've been back since, haven't you?
Hang on, what year is this?
It's 2016.
2016?
Yep.
I was even born in 2016.
Flippin' heck. It worked, Simon! It worked! 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number. Celebs who haven't changed their look. John Craven, Dimbleby, Jeffrey from Rainbow and Prince Philip. The royals don't change their looks, do they? You could apply that to all of them. The Queen, can't think of any other royals. But you could apply that to all of them, couldn't you? 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number. Andrea's on the line. Yes, Andrea?
Hello. Are you well?
Not massively.
No, I know that feeling.
I'm functioning.
Yeah, I've functioned through today.
Yeah, sometimes that's all you've got to do.
Absolutely. I've rung up. I've been an understudy twice.
Oh, late. Do you know what? I threw that out there thinking, I don't know, it's a good one. And in other places I've worked, we might get a shed load of calls. Hang on, I'm going to click my back. Oh. But I didn't think we'd get any. You've been an understudy twice as Electric Dreams plays in the background. Tell us all about it, Andrea. Who were you understudying and what happened?
I'm a member of a local amateur dramatic group.
Hang on a minute. Amdram doesn't have understudy.
Oh, we did. We had to.
Why? What, full of alcoholics?
I'm not even going to... maybe.
It was! You had boozy lashes in the play. Good for them! Well done!
The first time was a children's play, and it was we were doing Dracula Spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
And I ended up having to play Dracula's deranged mother, which I did pretty well, actually, apparently. Deranged well.
But did you... Okay. So you were understudying someone. Had you learnt the script? Or is an understudy allowed to go on with the book?
We have had people go on with the book.
Yeah.
But I've been to all the rehearsals, so I kind of knew the part anyway.
When I was studying performing arts at university many, many years ago, one of the things I wasn't a good actor, but I was really good at learning lines. I could learn a play, like in 2 nights I'd know the play and I could do it, right? Now, I haven't got a clue how I did that. I did, Kath, how long ago what year did Michael Jackson die? This is how I remember time. What year did Michael Jackson die, Andrea?
Do you know, I'm not sure at all.
Don't Google it, Kath. I'm looking at you as the voice of reason. You have to put it in. Talk into the microphone a sec, because I can't.
2009.
Okay, so 7 years ago, right, I was in a sitcom. It got panned. It wasn't as bad as everyone said, but it wasn't great, right? I was in a sitcom. And we did a pilot, and we did a second pilot, and then we did the first show. And the first show was the same script as the pilot, right? So I'd learned a 45-minute script. I had quite a big part in it. And I learnt it, and it was fine, right? And then we did a new show every week. We'd record, I think, on a Thursday, and we would get the script on a Monday, and there would be changes throughout the week. And I could not learn the words. Learning a 45-minute script, I've got no idea how anybody does it. Getting a script on a Monday and learning it by Thursday with changes. And that's partly, do you know what? I'm an all right actor, but that's partly why my acting was so bad, is because I was desperately trying to cling on to the words. I couldn't relax into the character. That sounds pretentious, but I couldn't relax into the character because I was desperately thinking, what's my next line? What's my next line? What's my next line? Oh, we're going to advertise cheese. which I think was one of the lines.
So, it is hard to do that, I must be honest.
And as I get older, I mean, I don't know what I did yesterday, let alone trying to remember and recite words. Flipping it. What was your other understudying experience?
It was the fairy godmother in Cinderella. And she just, the person who should have played just didn't turn up the night of the show.
Oh,
but again, I've been to the rehearsals and I went on. But I did fluff my lines. I had a big piece to say whilst they built the carriage backstage and I missed one of the verses. And all I could hear was somebody shouting backstage, "Oh, for goodness sake, we've only got one wheel on."
Fantastic. Fantastic. Oh, well, you know, I think that you can forgive an understudy for doing... Did they make the announcement at the start of the show? Because there's nothing more disappointing is when you go to the theatre and there's either a board in the lobby or before the show starts. And when I went to see pantomime, last pantomime, this happened... and tonight, the part of the prince will not be... No, tonight, the part of the beast will not be played by Rydian. It will be played by Simon Daniels. And you could just hear everyone going, "Oh, no." And I felt really sorry for Simon Daniels. I thought, poor lad. I thought, yeah, I've spent top dollar because I want to see Rydian. But then I felt really bad for Simon Daniels. And then it turned out, Andrea, that the beast, he wears a mask for most of the show, so it didn't matter who it was. It's only the last 10 minutes. Exactly, it's only the last 10 minutes you get to see him. And they might as well have just said, before he takes the mask off, don't say anything. Then as the mask is about to go off, go, "Oh, we've got to say, it's not Rydian, it's Simon Daniels." And you'd have gone, "Oh, that's Simon Daniels. And after, I thought it was Rydian. He's brilliant. We'll have that."
Yeah, they did announce, I must be honest, but I, with it being a local amateur group, I knew most of the people there anyway.
There we go, Andrea. Listen, thank you very much indeed. You're a good sport. I appreciate that. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. I'm starting to get that zombie effect again. I'm starting to be like, "You can stay there if you want. You can come in. I don't give a monkeys. Do what you want to do." I tell you what I want to do. We're trying to get this. Well, I say we're trying. Let me ask Catherine exactly how much she's tried. Hey, Kath, did you get Ben Innes on the show?
I tweeted him.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
Oh no, not Ben Innes. The other one.
Thank you. You tweeted the Eddie Stobart pervert.
Yeah, you wrote to Ben Innes, didn't you?
Well, no, I asked you to track down Ben Innes.
Yeah.
Right, try and track him down for tomorrow. Okay. Try and get him
I'll
on because the papers are having a right pop at him.
Why?
He's called a hijack ass.
Oh, because there's now a video.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, what's the video of?
Not sure.
Oh, there's a picture of him next to Hitler. Or picture next to him next to the JFK murder. Picture of him next to ISIS. And there's a picture... Someone's done a picture of him next to the Twin Towers.
Gosh.
Grinning, flipping heck. John Terry styley. John Terry's breathing a sigh. Someone do a picture of Ben Innes next to John Terry, please. There we go. And then the circle is complete and we can all sleep. Hijack ass. Seriously, try and get this guy on the show tomorrow. We must be able to hunt this guy down. Hijack ass is for the high jump. I think he's brilliant. Mum blasts stupid selfie lad. Well, I blast mum for being stupid because it's not a selfie, it's a photograph, as we said yesterday. The Brit who posed with the Egypt Air hijacker and his bomb belt in inverted commas, arrived home to an ear bashing from his mum yesterday. Ben Innes got a hug from Thierry Pauline, who said of the snap, "It was stupid!" She said, "I don't know why I did it. I just want us to go home." "All right, Mum, calm down." HR worker Ben, 26, said, "Mum was very upset seeing me, but I made it safe and sound. The past 2 days have been crazy, unbelievable. I'm here now, and things can get back to normal. I'll be relaxing at home with Mum." You won't be. You'll be getting a right roll rollicking. I want to see Ben in the Big Brother house. He'd be brilliant in the Big Brother house.
Well, as long as there's a camera.
Exactly. Well, there's loads of cameras. It's the Big Brother house. Ben promised Pauline he would not take risks when he texted her during the five-hour mid-air drama. Instead, he posed next to terror suspect Saif Eldin Mustafa, who held up 62 passengers and crew with a fake bomb. The snap went viral with Ben branding it the selfie of a lifetime. It's not a flipping selfie! But Pauline, who drove 50 miles from Leeds to Clepton, that's a trek, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But you would, though, wouldn't you, for your boy?
Oh, fair play to the mum. Fair
play
to the
mum.
This is brilliant. This is brilliant. Mum's know best. And I apologise for calling you stupid, Pauline, because I hadn't read the story. OK, so he's branded it selfie of a lifetime, right? But Pauline, who drove 50 miles from Leeds to Clepton, said, "The picture is not a selfie." You can clearly see that it is not Ben who is taking the picture. She's got the definition of a selfie, right?
Yeah.
Try and get him on. Seriously, try and track him down if you can. 08444991000.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Still going on. This is halfway through the song and there's still plenty more to go. I mean, wowzers. And it's a reminder, it's Ronnie Corbett that died. Paul Ross, not Ronnie Barker. Just to remind you that. I know you tweeted earlier on. Okay. Easy mistake to make. Nine 1000 is the telephone number. You give us a call, we give you a call back. That's the way it works. Let's get to the vocals. Hang on. Taking way too long, Dan. What you got, Dan?
I'm the ultimate person who still looks the same now as they've always looked.
But this is, Dan, this is... Are you falling down a mine shaft or something? This is the worst line ever.
I'm falling down the M6.
It's...
I'm hands-free, don't worry.
I couldn't give us... I'd rather you were risking your life and breaking the law. I don't mean that Ofcom, it's a joke. I can hardly hear you. It is rubbish. Give us a call when we can hear you, because it's a terrible, terrible line. And I know, you know, we're not exactly call rich here. Although that's a great name for a phone, if anyone called Rich wants to do that. We're not exactly caller rich here at Talk Radio at the moment. But, sorry, Dan, it's just, even I know. I was in The Persuasionists. Even I have standards, okay? 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, then you can do. Captain Birdseye's back. Here's the thing, right? Because we had Captain Birdseye, didn't we? Old Captain Birdseye with the big beard, big bushy beard, big fishy scent about him as he trawled the seas looking for the fish, the finest fish for Findus, okay? And then they got rid of him, didn't they? They killed him off, right? And they got like a kind of sexy Captain Birdseye in, like a fit, like a buff Birdseye. Captain Fitzeye. And I never understood, why would you try and make Captain Birdseye? Who are you appealing to by having a sexy Captain Birdseye? What is that for mums? So mums go, ooh, fish fingers, yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
For those that are looking for the 99% fat-free Birdseye product.
There we go, you see, exactly. Thank you, Ed. Well, Captain Birdseye is back with a beard. The new Captain Birdseye is in choppy waters already. Oh, hang on a second. I'm sniffing a made-up story from the PR department. I'm sniffing fiction because, here we go, he gets seasick. He doesn't actually have to go to sea. He's not actually going to go out and catch the fish. He has to have his picture taken. Mitch Cummins, what? Will take on the role advertising fish fingers made by John Huer in the 1960s. This is, you know what I'm doing? I'm falling prey to a PR release that's been printed in The Star as news. I love The Star. We didn't get The Star at the other place. I don't know why. We should have got... The Star is Britain's greatest newspaper. It's a flipping brilliant newspaper, and we never got it. Previously, South African Mitch, 68, had spent his entire working life in an IT job at a fishery. He landed the part, his first acting job, after catching the attention of company bosses with his white
bushy beard. The dad of two enjoys long walks on the beaches, but he admits he suffers if he takes the... Can South Africans... There are some accents... Right, this is going to be tricky to explain, but I'm going to do my best. There are some accents... Some people with certain accents that are better at doing other accents. For example, English people are excellent at doing, I'm Captain Birdseye. It's kind of, we know how to do that sort of piratey voice. I bet an American couldn't do a piratey voice. I bet an American couldn't pull it off. And I wonder if the same thing applies to those from South Africa. That's German for South Africa. If they can do it. A spokesman for Birdseye said, going out to sea is not a pastime that Mitch enjoys. What can we write about this boring old man? Ah, I know. Let's pretend he's seasick. Oh, I just sent that as a tweet. Despite donning his captain's cap, whoever wrote this, they shouldn't be executed. Of course they're not. But they should be threatened with execution to the point where they believe it. So they're terrified and then released. No, they shouldn't. They should be dangled out of the window by their feet. There was a manager of a band. Was it the manager of the Beach Boys? Not the Beach Boys. The Bee Gees. Was it the manager? Rock fans, you'll know this. Was it the manager of the Bee Gees that used to hang people out of the window by their feet if they didn't pay up? Was it Robert Stigwood that did that? It wasn't Stigwood, no. 0844 499 1000. True. He used to do it. He used to hang. It was like the Bee Gees or the Move or somebody. He would hang them out of the window by their feet if he didn't get the money that he was owed. You did that now. You go to prison. I'm glad they did that 50 years ago because it means we've got these rock and roll stories to pass on. Let's go back to this horrific PR puff piece, shall we? About Captain Birdseye. Despite donning his captain's cap, Mitch has an affinity for seasickness, a condition he'll look to overcome in order to master his new seafaring role. It's not a seafaring role. He's not a seafarer. He's got to stand in front of a camera and hold some fish fingers. That's all he's got to do. Steve Chantry. Oh, they're all coming. Listen to all these sly, slimy, slick people. Fair play, it's working. Because, well... Is it? It's working because they've got a piece in the Star. It's working because they're getting mentioned on talk radio. You know why it's not working? Because I'm not going to buy their fish fingers. So it's backfired. It's actually backfired. Steve Chantry, the firm's marketing director, said Mitch's look of a seaman, steady on, did help him land the coveted role. Well, of course, it's a job where the only important thing is how you look. It's the only important thing is how do you look? Steve said, not only does he look the part, but we loved his enthusiasm for the role. But balls. You don't give acting jobs to people because of their enthusiasm. We don't think you looked anything like we imagine. For you're a tall, slim white man and the part specifies it's a short, round black woman. But we love your enthusiasm. So, you know what? We're going to take a punt on you. We're going to take a punt on you and we're going to give it a go because you're so enthusiastic. If I got all the jobs I was enthusiastic about, I'd be rich. You know the best jobs I ever got? It was because I wasn't that bothered. 11 o'clock show, I turned up. I thought, if I don't get this, I'm going to get a proper job. So I knew I wouldn't get it. Oh, and I got it. This job, turned up thinking, I got it. We loved his enthusiasm for the role and believe he encapsulates all those great qualities we're looking for in Captain Birdseye. Flipping it. Doesn't it make you want to... The great qualities we're looking for in Captain Birdseye? What, a beard? You're looking for an old, rotund gentleman with a beard. Yep. The reappearance of the captain after so many years is an exciting step for us. Why can't you just say, none of the other advertising campaigns worked, so we've gone back to the old one. We've gone back to the old one. We look forward... What does this even mean? Listen to this bullshine speak. We look forward to bringing back memories for those who remember him, as well as introducing him to a brand new audience. Flipping heck. 0844 499 1000.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Gatford's on the line. Yes, Gatford.
You know when you were talking about people being held out of the window by their legs?
Yes.
Were you thinking of Suge Knight when he used to, when he apparently allegedly held Vanilla Ice out of the window?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
It was like an old sixties manager.
Yeah.
Who's Suge Knight?
Well, it was he was the manager of Ice Vanilla Ice, and he apparently once held his legs out of a window.
I met Vanilla Ice once. He was presenting. He was on the 11 o'clock show. Uh-huh. And he was presenting. He was a really nice bloke, actually. And he was presenting a show on. it was like a car show he was presenting, right? And I seem to be asking him the question, something along the lines of, "What's it like presenting a car show on Britain's premier male-based motoring channel, Men and Motors?"
Later known as Granada Men and Motors.
Yes. And then what did it become? All the channels changed their names. Is it Dave now?
Become Dave?
It's Dave, isn't it?
Dave,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Dave was Men and Motors. Men and Motors was great, right? Because up until 10, it was cars. After 10, it was boobs. It was boobs.
On live TV, really, wasn't it?
It was like boobs. It was boobs. Where are we going to get boobs at this time of night? Men and Motors. I don't like cars. Don't worry. After 10, boobs.
Fair point.
Yep.
The old Captain Birdseye, one thing you said there. Did he really say in that bit that he enjoys walks on the beach? Or did you add that bit?
No. It's apparently what he says, but he won't have said anything. It will all have been written by a hideous suit. It'll be written by a 19-year-old suit. So they won't be wearing a suit. They'll be wearing ridiculous clothes, have a stupid haircut, and think they're being retro cool. It's written by Nathan Barley.
Really? I know him. No, I don't. People say like they enjoy long walks on the beach. Do you remember when you used to write your CV?
I hate the beach. It's Shug.
And getting your shoes.
It's
and everything.
Shug, by the way, not Sue.
Yeah. Oh, is it really? Okay, fair.
Yeah, mate. Thank you, Lee.
No, it's profound. Thank you, Lena. Yeah, whatever. And you look at people who say, "Oh, I enjoy reading" on their CV.
Oh, yeah. Hobbies, reading and walking and breathing and drinking and water.
Exactly. What a load of rubbish. What? You enjoy reading? Enjoy reading what? Why do you enjoy reading it? What makes you read it?
All right, mate. I've just come in for a job at McDonald's working weekends. I'm really sorry, sir. I've come to the wrong place.
What do you enjoy reading? I mean,
I enjoy reading McDonald's recipe books.
There aren't any. You've not got the job.
Frederick's done a very funny tweet. Ian Lee is ripping Birdseye a new one, speaking truth to power without fear or favour. Yeah, that's why.
I think you should put that. You know those posters you get of people and acts? You should put that on your poster.
I don't know. No, I don't know what you mean. Posters you get of people? What, wanted posters?
You know, like when Paul Ross does a film review, you know, you get posters, they say, Ian
Paul
Lee
Ross
is
says,
great.
Meow, meow, I love this. By the way, Ronnie Barker dies. No, Paul, it was Ronnie Corbett. You should run your own Twitter account, Paul. Don't give it to Seifert. Bow, ba-down, bow, 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 bow. Anyway, Gatford, I'm going to cut you off.
Uh-huh. Okay, fine.
There we go. Dan's on the line.
Oh.
No!
Oh, that was a shame that you cut him off.
Why?
Because he was interesting-ish.
Oh, come on, Daniel.
No, he wasn't. He was, but he wasn't. I thought Dave was always UK Gold too, anyway, and then it changed to Dave.
Yes, they all change, don't they?
Everything changes but you,
yeah. Everything changes but you, and you.
Play some more Beach Boys, that's better than Take That.
Yeah, you're right, actually. I will play some more Beach Boys. What you got for us, Dan?
The ultimate person who still looks the same now as they ever did.
Yes, go on. People who have not changed their looks. Yes, go on.
He's a man. Do you want to play a guessing game, or do you just want?
You know, I've got three minutes and 20 seconds to play before I have to go to
break. We've got time before Miles Hunt.
Well, yeah, Miles Hunt is going to be on at 39 minutes and 29 seconds, according to at my clock. It'll be slightly later for you because of the DAB or indeed online delay, and in fact the 7 second delay. So it'll probably be about 41 for you guys.
I will wear tartan trousers, especially.
Thank you, buddy.
The man who looks, he's a man. He's on television now.
Yeah.
And he, I think he was on television last night. Any guesses? And he looks exactly the same and he, as he always has done.
Well, it can't be John Craven because he has changed his looks.
No. He's similar to John Craven.
He was on telly last night.
Probably. I know he's on telly at the moment.
So a newsman?
A lot. No.
No, hang on. When you say a lot, do you mean now?
He's on virtually every day. He used to be on a lot at the weekend, doing a little twee show, and he's on the TV at the moment, talking about TV. And he's the ultimate, because he's looked exactly the same.
But when you say he's on TV at the moment, though, he's not on at the moment.
Not now.
Because that's not being particularly clear. Okay.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's okay.
He's on the TV virtually every day.
Jeremy Kyle.
No. He's looked this way since he was a wee slip of a lad.
Is that a clue, looks this way? Aerosmith, Steve Tyler,
no.
Liv Tyler's dad, Tyler.
He was a singer. He's famous for singing, but he didn't actually sing the song he's famous for singing.
Milli Vanilli, Millie?
No.
Vanilli.
David Bowie introduced it, but it's not him singing it.
Have you been smoking hashish?
No, I've been driving down the M6, but now I'm stopped.
Not necessarily, doesn't necessarily stop someone from smoking hashish, trust me.
True, but they're illegals.
Yeah.
Doing that.
No, of course no one should be doing it, but let's be honest, people take drugs, you know. Yeah. They've put it on hold, they want to ban legal highs, but that's unworkable, surely, because then they'll just make new legal highs. Anyway, we're going off on a...
It's a loophole.
Are they not banning loopholes, are they? I love those, man.
No, we need loopholes.
Opening a bottle of loophole.
This man used to have the curtain haircut.
Well, so he has changed his look then. So already, he doesn't fit into the...
No, because he's still virtually got that look now. He looks exactly the same. He still wears rubbish jumpers.
Andy Crane.
Haspels. No, but close. First came big in the 80s. He's the ultimate. Forsyth sort of... changed his look with that.
Edmonds?
Pack. No.
Oh.
Do you want me to reveal?
No, I don't. Let me just say that people are guessing it. People might be guessing it on Twitter. John Stapleton. Alec Jones!
Yes!
Thanks very much, Josh Ibrahim, MA. Who looks like he's smoking a hookah pipe in his... You see the front page of one of the papers? Footballers, 7 hours booze and hookah party. You think it looks like it's prostitutes. He was just having a puff on a Hubbly Bubbly.
Apple flavour.
Yeah, delicious. I'd love to have a go on a Hubbly Bubbly. 0844 499 1000.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Evening, Ian Lee, Talk Radio. Don't call in for a little bit, because we're going to play an interview that I... Normally we do the interviews live. I like doing the interviews live, because there's a moth on me. There we go. I should have crushed that. I need to kill that moth, because if that comes home with me, my clothes are gone. If you've ever had moths, it's the worst thing. We had to freeze all of our clothes, steam clean the carpet, take all the rest of the clothes we couldn't freeze to the dry cleaners. It was a nightmare. And you know what? We didn't get rid of the moths, guys. Falls, and there's one in here somewhere. Anyway, I like to do the interviews live normally, because they're more fun. And I was talking to lots of American guests. It's quite easy to do that. In fact, it works perfectly. We can get a guest on at 12:30. Beautiful. And they're in America. But we had Miles Hunt on the other day. We were off of Miles Hunt. And I don't want to be rude, but let's be honest. These rock and rollers aren't what they used to be, are they? They're not what they used to be. 29, 20. I've got 29, I was told. Not what they used to be. So we pre-recorded Miles Hunt. And this is what happened. Speak to you, sir. We have spoken before, and I just need to say this again, because I still feel uncomfortable. The first time we ever had contact, we were having an argument on Twitter.
Were we?
Yeah, now you don't remember it, and I'm kind of glad, because I'm going to say it, Miles, I was being a dick.
I can't believe that of you.
With respect, sir, you were being a dick back.
What was it about? Tell me.
Oh, do you really want to know?
Yeah.
Okay, years and years ago, not years and years ago, but a while ago, I came and saw you at the Forum, and you didn't play Size of a Cow.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think you did, and I stuck around for two encores. And I held that bitterness for ages, right? And I was just being a... I'm trying to improve as a human being, but I was being a snarky idiot on Twitter, as it's very easy to do.
Yeah, we all fall into that occasionally.
And someone then... And I said, oh, I saw the Wonder Stuff once, and they didn't play Size of a Cow. And someone then sent that to you, and then we got into some quite unpleasant banter, to the point where my sister, who is a big fan of mine, turns out she's a bigger fan of yours, she sent me an email saying, Ian, I cannot in any way support you in this battle. Please stop fighting with Miles Hunt. And it was silly and it was a spat. I would imagine, and I apologise, I'm dreadfully embarrassed and I'm trying to improve my Twitter behaviour. Do you get idiots like me on Twitter a lot? Because you're in the public eye and because, you know, you are a singer and a songwriter and a pop star, do you get people having a pop?
Not really, no. I get it more in real life than I do on Twitter. But, I'm 30 years into it now, so I'm kind of used to it.
Well, this is the thing, man. The Wonder Stuff are 30 years old. How the hell did that happen?
Oh, mate, if I could only tell you. I mean, yeah, I'm very proud of it, but it does feel bizarre. I mean, I remember when I was buying records, you know, in the late 70s, like new wave and punk stuff that I was into, late 70s, early 80s. And, you know, if you mentioned a band that was 10 years old, you'd go, well, why don't they split up? How can they possibly be relevant to anything?
Yeah.
And then here we are, 30 years old.
Well, it's the Who, isn't it? Hope I Die Before I Get Old. And they're singing that, you know, and they're all sort of 73 years old. It's that strange... Strange thing. What kind of music were you buying then? What were the records that a young Miles Hunt was getting into?
Well, the late 70s. Well, I mean, it all started with glam rock for me. My Uncle Bill was in Wizard. He played keyboards in Wizard.
Excuse me? Hang on
a
second.
Uncle Bill played keyboards in Wizard. Come on, man, read the biography. Everybody knows that about me.
I didn't know that!
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. That must have been the coolest thing, having an uncle as a pop star.
Oh, it was fantastic. I used to get all the free merchandise. I used to go to, you know, my junior school with big Wizard badges and... T-shirts and all that type of stuff, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
That was brilliant. And then, you know, and he could regale us with stories of Top of the Pops and hanging out with Slade and all sorts. Yeah, it was great. So it sort of started there for me.
Did that plant the seed then of you thinking, oh, I fancy a bit of that?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, I did. I tell a story in my book. I've written a book about the first 4 years of the Wonder Stuff and, like, the early sort of period of me getting into music. And one of the stories I tell is, I think it was 1974, so I'd be about 7 or 8 years old, and I came downstairs in our house, you know, to get ready for school, and Mum and Dad are getting ready for work, and my brother's getting ready for school. And to get through to our kitchen to have our breakfast, you had to go through the lounge, and this particular morning there were five hairy men lying on the floor. And it later turned out that it was five members of Wizard.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I mean,
you know what I mean?
That is just fantastic.
So, you know, I'm asking Mum, what's Uncle Bill and all his friends doing? And, you know, it occurred to me, we're up at like 8:30 polishing shoes and ramming cornflakes down our throats, and these guys have got no intention of moving before midday.
Was Uncle Bill, was that your mum's brother?
Dad's brother.
Dad's brother. When you started to get into the business, you know, seriously start working at it, did your parents go, oh, no, not another one? Not another Uncle Bill?
No, not at all. No, they were, because I'd failed so miserably academically, they were just happy that, you know, I'd found an interest that kept me off the streets.
And how did you get that band together? Was it that thing that you were playing a guitar in the school playground and someone came up and said, oh, I can play guitar as well. Is that how it worked?
Not really. I mean, that's how the early bands were. Yeah, definitely. You know, you're like, let's form a band, and then the conversation is, well, what are you going to play? What am I going to play? I did that before the Wonder Stuff. Yeah, exactly as you described it, really. But, yeah, the Wonder Stuff was, you know, I knew a couple of guys that I'd played drums for because I was a drummer first.
Right.
And then I heard that they'd sacked me as their drummer, and then I heard that they were looking for a singer, and I'd sort of kept an eye on the grapevine in local pubs, you know, that they were auditioning various guys, that no one was fitting the bill. And when I knew that there was nobody left in town, I asked them if they'd let me ever go, bearing in mind that they'd sacked me as their drummer. Not because I was a bad drummer, just because I had a bad attitude.
Well, we may come back to your attitude in a minute. I think you're too good-looking for a drummer.
Oh,
I'm trying to think of another good-looking drummer. Listen, Pete Best, they got rid of Pete Best from the Beatles because he was too good-looking, not because he couldn't drum.
Pete the Freitas from the Bunnymen, sadly no longer with us. He was a very handsome young man.
Beautiful boy, yeah, I'll give you that.
Don Powell from Slade was cool.
Yeah.
You know, whether you'd call that sort of classically handsome, I don't know, but he was very cool.
Hey, have you seen, you probably have seen, you probably went to the premiere, Slade in Flame, their film they made.
I saw it. I didn't go to the premiere. I was about 6 years old.
Oh, okay, right.
No, I was about 9 or 10. It's brilliant. It's one of the greatest films ever made for so many reasons. Obviously, it's got all four members of Slade in it, and it's one of the rare rock or pop movies that are made where bands try to act and they actually pull it off.
It's like Kez for rock and roll band. And people, you mentioned it to people who go, "What film is Slade in? That'll be rubbish." No. It's really dark.
It really is. It's like it's captured that, you know, those like things like Taste of Honey, L Shaped Room, Kind of Loving, all those films that Morrissey's probably staying in to watch tonight. It's like in the great lineage of that. It's a brilliant British movie, like observe what Britain was like at the time. And they actually pull off the acting thing.
They do. They really do. And it's such a grim film, and I show it to people from time to time.
Right.
And they go, "Oh, flipping it! This is actually brilliant." You know, it's not A Hard Day's Night. It's dirty and dark.
Yeah, really. Yeah, and you know, I think I can't believe anyone funded it, really, because at the time, you know, everything looked like it was rosy in Slade's garden. I know Dave, I've spoken to Dave Hill, Slade's guitarist.
Right.
And he hated it.
Really?
Yeah, and he hated it, why they were making it. He hated the script. He wanted to make a big showbiz movie, you know.
Yeah.
But the rest of the lads were into this, okay, this could actually give us a bit of credibility, and indeed it did.
You didn't make a movie, The One and Stuff, but you did have a concert film, didn't you?
We did a thing called a rockumentary, Ian.
Oh, okay, excuse me. Thank you very much.
A mate of mine that was he wanted to go into documentary filmmaking and had no idea how he could fund his first documentary, so I said, well, let me talk to our record company and see if I can talk them out of a decent amount of money, and you could just practice making documentaries by following us around for a year, which is what he did. And it's had compliments from really interesting places. Like, I remember hearing that Andrew Eldridge, the singer of Sisters of Mercy, who you wouldn't expect to be a Wonder Stuff fan. And this is, you know, the film's all made around the time that we're enjoying our cheesiest sort of pop commercial moment with Sides of Cow and Cheap Seats and Dizzy and all that. And apparently he loved it and felt compelled enough to tell me. I don't remember the incident. I must confess I was drunk.
Good for you.
And I think I was a bit rude to him because I thought he was taking the mickey out of me by saying, "I think your film's really good." But I think I've read somewhere Tom York from Radiohead was a fan of it, you know, before they got going, before he lost his sense of humour, shall we say.
Can I pick you up on something there? When you said your cheesiest kind of height of pop fame.
Yeah.
Is that how you view that? Did you feel that those, the big hits, the Dizzy with Vic and Bob and Cheap Seats and Size of a Cow, did you feel that some, I'm going to use the word integrity, so get ready for it. Did you feel that you'd lost a bit of your integrity with that, or was that always the master plan to kind of get there?
No, I mean, I always wanted, I didn't think at the very beginning, like first two albums, I didn't think I could write pop songs. And then by the third album, I suddenly discovered that I could write not traditional ABBA Beatlesque pop songs, but I could write something that had a greater popular appeal than I thought I was capable of. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of great British pop, whether that's going, you know, from the Kinks through all of, you know, the crazy stuff of the glam rock. And I like, you know, I still like me Joy Division and the Echo and the Bunnymen at the same time, but I do like pop music.
Yeah.
And I love Madness, and I suppose I thought there's nothing wrong with just having some good old British British pop songwriting fun. And I still like the songs, and they've served me well. And I don't mind, you know, on the new album, there's a track called For the Broken Hearted, which is probably the most frivolous on there, but it's not as frivolous as say, size of a cow or cheap seats. But there's still part of me that, you know, I like sort of serious rocking, but that feels kind of stupid to say, whereas it's easier to confess to I like fun in songs.
Yeah, pop is a dirty word, and I don't know why, you know. My favourite band is the Monkees, right? So I got teased mercilessly at school.
Right.
So I'm used to... The thing, if it's good music, I like it, you know.
Exactly.
I don't care if it's cool or not.
Yeah, and I don't need, you know, I didn't mind on the Clash's third album that they brought in acoustic guitars, and, you know, I don't mind changes. I've never really, this is going to sound terrible, but I've never really been able to stick with the Buzzcocks. I was never able to really stick with the Ramones, because it just seemed to me like I always knew what I was going to get.
Yeah, yeah.
And the bands that I've, you know, when the Bunnymen got round to Killing Moon, who knew they were going to do that, you know? It was a departure from the other stuff that they, or in the sound, not in the songwriting. But I, you know, I don't mind, and like I say, glam rock, Britain was coming out with some great pop songwriting in the 70s, and it had an effect on me.
The album, 30
yeah.
Goes Around the Sun.
Yeah.
It came out on March the 19th. I'm looking at your notes here. I've been sent your notes.
Okay.
Released 30 years to the day since the band first walked into a rehearsal studio. Is that true, or is that just
it's
a little bit of showbiz magic?
True.
Come on, come on.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely true. March the 19th, 1986, I borrowed a guitar and a little amplifier from my mate, and I went to audition for what was our old guitarist band at the time. And I have all this stuff written down. It might seem a bit nerdy, but it served me well. I kept diaries all through my teens and through the early years of the band. And I've written a book called The Wonder Stuff Diaries, and I know for a fact that it was about 6 p.m.
Oh, I like this.
The 19th. And here's another thing. I know I keep talking about Slade, but here's another odd thing. When I was looking up for when I was writing my book, other interesting things that happened on March the 19th in any year. And that's also the inaugural day of Slade. Slade say they had their first gig as Ambrose Slade.
Ambrose Slade, of course. And they were a skinhead band.
Yeah, which was March 1966.
There you see, the stars are aligning. Let's find out what else magical happened on those days. I can understand, right, 30 years into it, I'm not a musician, so I can understand doing live gigs, because, hey, it pays the bills, and also it must be a lot of fun with that audience right in front of you.
It's brilliant. It's amazing.
Going into the studio, though, 30 years on, why do you do it? Do you have this drive that you have to do it? What's the reason?
I suppose there's nothing quite like the feeling of when the creative process reaches its logical end, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, from walking down the street, humming a melody to yourself, or sitting in bed and writing a couplet down, a few lyrics, to then demoing it, to then playing it in live, or sharing it with the other musicians in the band, and then spending a few days up per track. It's just a really... I mean, it can be frustrating, but...
But you enjoy it, because it would be easy to
really
coast.
Enjoy
it would be
it.
Easy to coast now and just play, you know, play the Butlin circuit and make, you know, make a few quid. You enjoy the work of it.
Yeah. It's, you know, do you like cooking?
I like eating.
Well, okay, you know, I get if I'm cooking,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
the
yeah.
same sort of thing. It's a sense of achievement that's part of the creative process. And, you know, lots of people understand that in many different ways, whether you're a poet, a painter, or, you know, whatever, or just someone who likes to do a jigsaw puzzle. You know, it's the same thing. It's like a feeling of fulfillment. It's made my day worthwhile, and that's why I do it. I genuinely love making a noise. You know, I'm either tragic that I've never developed beyond it, or I'm wonderfully consistent. I haven't decided.
And how has it changed from recording, you know, 20 years ago to recording now for you?
Not at all, to be honest.
Really?
I mean, there's not bits of tape anymore, as you know, in your gig, but it's computers. But it's the same. It's the same process. It's working through it live, constantly reviewing it, talking to each other, you know, and I suppose I've got the loudest mouth and always did in the studio, but I like having a producer there as a referee, as someone that's got better ears than me, but I like bouncing off all the other members of the band. It's, you know, it's the gang creative process is brilliant.
There's a great, there is a great line in this press release. I tend to ignore the press releases, but there's a great line in this. When you're talking about, I'm going to get this gentleman's last name wrong, Simon Efemi?
Efemi.
Simon Efemi, right?
Yeah.
Who produced it.
Yeah.
And there's a quote from you saying, without him ever coming straight out and saying he's never liked our previous albums, He's always made it known to me he's been frustrated. We've never made a record that's captured our live sound.
Yeah.
Has he now said, look, Miles, everything you've done up until now has been rubbish. This,
yeah, that's
this is the album.
What he did say. I mean, I just didn't want to accuse him of that publicly, but, you know, we may as well do it here now. he's a brilliant, brilliant guy that I've known for years and years and years, and he's got a fantastic sense of humour. So he wouldn't mind it at all if I'd have just said it for the press release. Simon thinks all of our other records are rubbish, and he's the only man on the planet that can make a good one by us.
How about just for a couple more things? I'm going to let you go. I could talk all night. How big were you in the States? Because I've just been going down the rabbit hole on YouTube, and I saw a brilliant clip of you on David Letterman, playing Cheap Seats, I think it was, with the band, with Paul Schaefer in the band.
That's
singing
right,
along. It's a brilliant clip.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you big in the States?
No, not at all.
Oh!
Well, you know, we could go to, you know, the major cities, in New York, Chicago, you know, the usuals. We could, you know, at one point we were probably doing 1,000 to 1,500 people in the major cities. And you know, mostly we did support tours. We went out there with Susie and the Banshees, went out there with a Mission. We had a brilliant time, and I guess, you know, we had stuff playlisted at MTV and on alternative radio, they're all modern rock. But the Letterman thing, it does make it look, you know, like we were being in the world. And that was a brilliant experience because you're there all afternoon rehearsing with the band.
Oh, you could tell you were loving it. It's a brilliant clip. I'd never seen it before. It's a brilliant clip.
Well, the funny thing I like, the thing I like about it is, Letterman gets, you know, I think you film it all about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, and then it goes out as live at like 11 or something. But one of the things they'd said to me, the production staff had said, when you finish playing the song, Mr. Letterman may or may not come over and thank you before he goes to the ad break. And I said, that's fine, I don't mind, I don't care whether he does it or not. And then they said, yes, but if he does, under no circumstances must you look him in the eye.
People actually say that in real life. I didn't think that happened.
You know, they're joking, but they weren't. They were dead serious. They were like, you mustn't. And so, of course, when we finish the song, he does come over to me. And the first thing I do is look him in the eye.
Wow.
Because, you know, I actually said, like, you're serious, right? And they go, you can only look at his shoulder.
Isn't that funny?
And I didn't do it to be, you know, unpleasant to the guy, but you look somebody in the eye when they shake you by the hand. And then I just wondered, was it actually like a gag that all the production staff played on him, and the poor bloke went home every night to his bed and his missus and saying, honey, why does nobody ever look at
me? No one looks at me!
Yeah.
Have you seen the pictures of Letterman now?
No, I haven't seen a picture of him recently.
Mate, you've got to Google it, right? There's some pictures came out a couple of days ago of David Letterman now. He's completely bald, and he's got a massive beard. It's about a foot long.
Really?
He's unrecognisable. It's brilliant. Someone spotted him out jogging, yeah.
Really?
Go and look in the eyes of that man and see. Miles, listen, the album is 30 Goes Around the Sun. It's the 30th anniversary. It makes me feel old, but I feel happy knowing that you're at least a little bit older.
It's a very lively, relentless rock record with a lot of high points on it. So, you know, you saying it's by a band that's been around for 30 years, it's only me from the originals. Everyone else I've made sure is a lot younger than me. It's a very lively, pleasant listen.
Oh, it's good. Oh, and that's the thing. It does. There's so often, Mark, you know, doing this kind of job, I get to interview lots of people who have released the right load of ropey old crap as a new, you know, as a new record. You have to go, well, this new record, it really is a record now. But you're right. This doesn't sound like, you know, I'm going to say it, a bloke who's, well, you're 50 now.
I'll be 50 in a couple of months, yeah.
Okay, all right, calm down. Still 49.
You'll get there.
Maybe, we'll see. Miles, websites and things, if people want to come and have a look and, you know, find out more about you, where should they go?
Easy, thewonderstuff.com, or you can find me on just my name, either Facebook and Twitter. It's all me that does it. And I thoroughly enjoy engaging with people, as you found out.
Yes. I'm so glad that we are now online friends. Miles, it's such a joy to talk to you, mate. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Ian.
See you later on. Bye-bye.
See you again, mate. Bye.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a man so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for living in the movies and TV.
might fall from a tall building. I might roll a brand new car. Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star. I've never spent much time in school, but I taught ladies plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay.
Hey, hey!
I've gotten burned over Cheryl Teagues, blown up for Rocky Welch. But when I wind up in the hay, it's only hay.
Hey, hey!
I might jump an open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine. Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that makes Eastwood look so fine.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. Ian Lee. I love Miles Hunt. I like the Wonder Stuff. I'm not a huge Wonder Stuff fan. I remember that. What was the song about being in the bathroom? Anyway, I like the Wonder Stuff. I know my sister was a bigger fan, and I like them. But I like them more. I've seen them in concert, as I say. I like them more because he's just such a nice bloke. He's such a nice bloke. Why is he not on, like, TV and radio more? Why is he... Whenever you want an opinion piece, they get the same old people up. The excellent Paul Gambaccini, obviously. I'm not saying Miles Hunt is a new Gamba. But why don't we get people like Miles Hunt on TV more? Why is he funny? He's funny, he's interesting, he's self-deprecating, and he kind of speaks his mind but without being nasty and obnoxious. Brilliant! Why is he... Hey, Virgin Radio downstairs! Give Miles a gig. Do you know what I mean? Oh man, give me a radio station. What I could do with it. What I could do with it. I'd give him a gig at a moment's notice. Anyway, Miles Hunt, thank you. Loved it. 0844 499 1000. This is Ian Lee Talk Radio for the last, 55 minutes or so of the show. We should be taking your call straight to air, so if you want to give us a call, you're more than welcome to. The way it works is normally when you phone up a radio station, you speak to the producer and they answer the call and they say, yes, what would you like to say to Ian? OK, I'll give you a call back. Doesn't work like that here. You ring up, I see my screen flashing blue and yellow, I touch the screen and I say, line one, you're on the wireless. And it don't work, of course. There we go, let's try again. Hang on a second. Line two, you're on the wireless. Nope, do you want to flush the system out, Ed, like we did before? Line one, give us a call back in a minute because the system is broken. It's broken. We broke the radio. I've done that before, not in a good way. Try it again. Try it again now, he said, trying to elicit more spontaneous phone calls, but in a slightly more controlled manner. It should work now. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Everyone's up in arms in the newspapers because of the sale of gnomes has dropped massively. Well, yeah, was there ever a massive gnome market? My mum has a farting gnome, which she thinks is hilarious, because my mum has, I can say this, very bad sense of humour. But was there ever really a massive... So I've eaten a shed load of biscuits. I think Talk Sport is sponsored by Big Massive Fat Cookies. I've just eaten about a dozen of them. The new pills. The doctor said the new pills will make you sleepy and hungry. And boy, oh boy, was he right. Flippin' heck. Took these new pills last night for the first time. And I got home and I was crawling about the floor trying to do stuff. And I thought, man, why am I crawling on the floor? They do need to get me some new phones, SMW, correct. Why am I crawling on the floor? Oh, this new pill is making me very, very... And I'm hungry. Anyway, I'm a little bit windy, Pops. 0844 499 1000. With their cheery grins and rosy cheeks... Oh, jeez. Ornamental gnomes have been a feature of British gardens since 1847. Now, that's actually interesting. I would stop the story there, and I'd then write a piece about the history of gnomes. Why do we have garden gnomes? Who was the first person to have a garden gnome in their house, in their garden? Let's see if this works now. Line one, two, you're on the wireless.
Is there a massive gnome market? It literally is, as they sell massive gnomes.
How big are their massive gnomes?
They're about up to my waist, and I'm about 5'9".
Oh, so, still, well...
It's pretty massive for a gnome, isn't it?
You're not much bigger than a gnome. That's cruel,
I stood next to you before, and I do look like a gnome compared to you.
Well, I'm the other end of the scale, right? So I'm too tall, and I'm lanky, and I'm too tall. I'll admit that.
You looked like a pretty imposing man.
If we could get someone exactly in between us in terms of height, which would be 6'5", that would be normal height. Neither of us are normal, Jamie, and I think you can take that in the spirit it's intended.
No, I totally take it. If we get someone in the middle, we could do the sketch for old...
Ronnie Corbett, can we? Ronnie Corbett, as Paul Ross called him, Ronnie Barker, who died today. Can you believe that? Paul Ross's Twitter feed.
Actually, it was Paul Ross, I can't believe that.
Well, yeah, I know, and he'll hate me for mentioning it. Never mind, he won't be listening to this rubbish. Where did we meet, Jamie?
I was working near your station, when you worked at another place.
Yeah.
And I waited outside and asked if you'd kindly sign an autograph for me, and you said yes, and you shook my hand, and you was very polite and nice.
Damn, what was going wrong with me? I should have shoved you to the ground and told you off for what other I'm guessing Absolute, was it?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, I'm glad I was nice, because the number of times I tell you what I get a lot, Jamie, people coming up to me, not a lot, but I get it from time to time. People come up saying, oh, I spoke to you once on your radio show, and my heart always sinks. And the first thing I say with great sincerity is, listen, if I was rude to you, I'm really, really sorry. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean it. No. And so far, most people have said, oh, no, you're all right, actually. You're all right.
No, you're a complete gent.
Well,
you're a complete gent.
I'm not now.
Misunderstood.
I'm going to cut you off now, so that's rude, isn't it?
No.
Yeah. Oh, OK. 08444 499 1000. It's the telephone number if you want to give us a call. It's the curse. Yeah, I phoned up your radio show once. Oh, God, what did I say to you? I met a fella that was at the same school as me at the weekend. He was 2 years below me, and he said, oh, I just got to school with you. I was like, right, wasn't rude to you, was I? I did that. I've done that once before. I was horrible at school. I've got a great shame I carry around with me. I need to work on it, right? I got bullied at school quite a lot from when I went to grammar school. It doesn't mean anything. It was just past my 11 plus. I went to a grammar school. And I got bullied really early on by some kids in the fifth form, right? But the teacher who was in charge of the fifth form was a real... He's probably on a... he might be on a list. I don't know. He was horrible, right? No names, no patria. Horrible. And when I told him I was being bullied... When I told my parents, right, I was being bullied, they got in touch with him. And he said, I'll sort this out. Do you know how he sorted it out? He got me and the two bullies in the room at the same time, and he said, I don't believe you, Rugvi. My name was Rugvi. I don't believe you, Rugvi. These are two excellent pupils. I think you're making it up. Why are you making it up? It's humiliating. Do you know what those boys did to me that day? They beat the crap out of me. So that, and I got bullied a bit. But then, in turn, to make myself feel better about my low self-esteem and self-hatred, I did some pretty crappy bullying myself. I did some horrible things at school. I did some horrible things to some wonderful people, which I carry round an eternal shame for. And I feel awful about it. This girl Bernadette, some of the things I did to her, flipping heck, man. Awful stuff. Honestly, I have nightmares about it. And I don't know why I'm telling you. That's what we'll do, is we'll go to line one. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello, line one.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, line one, you're on the air.
It's Nigel from Maidstone.
Of course it is. It's Nigel.
How are you?
I've brought up a little shame attack there, remembering some of my bullying I did.
I wanted to talk about Ronnie Corbett.
Oh, yeah, go on.
So I was a big fan. He was great, wasn't he, Ronnie Corbett? I've followed him all through the years on the Two Ronnie Show.
A stalker?
For Ronnie Corbett. He's fantastic, wasn't he?
He was good. Yeah, he was good. It's sad when anyone passes.
Naturally funny, wasn't he?
Yes.
Everything he spoke about. He didn't need to read the lines, did he?
Well, he did read the lines.
The auto cue, you mean?
Well, I don't know if he had an auto cue or not. I'd imagine he would have learnt the script.
I would imagine that he could do a lot from his head, just by thinking about it all.
Yeah.
The way I do when I do my sketches on video.
I didn't know you did comedy, Nigel.
I do my Mrs. Doubtfire, don't I?
I don't know. Well, let's hear.
Would you like to hear a bit?
Well,
no, it's, yeah,
there's no one else calling in, so...
Have I got a minute to do it?
Well, you've got until I get bored.
OK, I'll do what Mrs. Doubtfire. Hello, my name is Mrs. Doubtfire. I've been shopping today. I went to the pound shop. I got cornflakes. I got tea. I got a pint of milk. Sometimes I go in Ann Summers and buy those naughty novelties you can get, but I can't afford the novelties. They're so expensive these days. Oh, yes, Mrs. Doubtfire. I can't afford to buy those novelties from Ann Summers.
I'm glad someone's laughing.
Anyway.
What novelties from Ann Summers? I thought Mrs. Doubtfire was Scottish.
Oh, I don't know, but I just made it up. It's my own Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh,
know?
My
but
own.
Anyway, Mrs. I want. Yeah, I do. I'm saddened by Ronnie Corbett, obviously.
Saddened,
and I watched the program about him at the One Show earlier on BBC
you
One.
Do you like the One Show?
I love Alex. She's good, isn't she?
Yeah.
Alex. What's her other name? Alex.
Alex.
Alex something.
Magic Alex.
Yeah, because I'm on her page on Facebook.
It doesn't mean anything.
Pardon?
Yeah?
Yeah. Anyway, so, would you like me to call back next week?
Of course, Nigel, I would love you to call back next week. Thank you for calling tonight, buddy. I appreciate that. Let's take this and then we'll have a break. Line 2, you're on the wireless. Nope, that line is not working. Line 2, you're on the wireless. Line 2? No, what's wrong with this bloody phone system? Tell you what, Ed, go to a break and then give it a flush.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hey, Ian. This person is wild man nonsense. Late night with Ian Lee.
Let's try again. Line 1, you're on the wireless. Flippin' heck, man. Line 2, you're on the wireless. Right, can we shut the whole system down and get it to work? Because guess what, guys? I kind of need a phone system that works to do a phoning show, guys. I don't want to sound prissy. Line 2.
Line 2.
But I need to take them, Ed, otherwise it's pointless.
Hello?
Yes, Line 2, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Rosie.
Hello, Rosie, what have you got for us? The phones are being particularly crap tonight.
Yeah, I tried 4 times the other night and didn't... Getting cut off.
It would be nice for a phoning show to have a phone system what worked and that I could access the telephone calls. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy was talking about Ronnie Corbett, and it just made me think of the sketch that I always enjoyed the most was. There was one where they sang a song and the end of the line sounded rude and then they'd, like, repeat it.
Here's the thing. There was some woman on that Johnny and Ash's show going, well, the thing about the two Ronnies is they were never rude. They were filthy!
Oh, they were.
They were filthy! Absolute filth!
There was a line that was started for curiosity and then they repeated just the...
Yes.
Fuck you, fuck you.
There we go. They were filthy, the two Ronnies. It was outrageous. but good, you know. But
although I didn't get it when I was sort of 8 when I used to watch it. But
no, I mean it's sad and stuff. But he was 85.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah. I mean, he was getting a bit. I don't know if he had. I don't know what was wrong with him, but those adverts that he was doing for, was it Wilshire Farm Foods or something?
Oh, yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, I always thought that was a bit of a come-down.
Well, listen, guys, we've all in this business, Rosie, taken the shekel from somewhere and done things that have... No, that doesn't work.
Cats
that temporary fix you typed
things,
up does not work.
They?
Flush
cats
it out
do
again.
The weirdest things, don't they?
Hey, I tell you what. I think that show's funny, and B for six hours.
I love cats.
For 6 hours work, I pay the mortgage for. Hang on, let me do this right. I pay the mortgage for 18 months, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much indeed.
Oh, I wish.
I do. Seriously, 6 hours work. That's 18 months of mortgage paid. Thank you very much indeed. Line 2, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Oh, hello, good morning. My name's Martin.
My name's Ian.
Oh, hello. Well, first time caller. But just calling in, I don't know whether you ever did get the answer. It was about the manager who dangled people over a balcony.
Yeah, go on, who was it?
I'm only going to be half a hill here because I've forgotten his name, but he was Sean Osborne's father.
It was Don Arden, wasn't it? Here we go.
Don Arden.
Yeah. That's it. That's the one.
He sold the small faces to Andrew Oldham.
Yeah, we go. Don't 60s bands... 60s bands are fascinating, but their managers, I think, are even more fascinating to a certain extent.
Yeah, the story goes, actually, Johnny Walker, when he was on, Radio Caroline...
Yeah.
Don Arden actually had a record out, and Johnny Walker refused to play it. So, shortly afterwards, he had a stock car accident.
Oh.
And when he went into the Bag of Nails, Don Arden was at the bar and said... He said to his mate, I told you I'd get him. Look at that, he's coming in crutches.
Flipping heck. That's a nasty piece of work, isn't he?
Yeah.
Martin, absolutely. Listen, for a first-time call, that was brilliant. I look forward to speaking to you again.
It's been great, thank you.
Thank you, mate. There we go. Let's see it. Line two, you're on the wireless? No. Okay. You know what we're going to do? We're going to sack the phones off. I can't do it without... Guess what, guys? I can't do a phone-in show without phones. It just doesn't... Well, line one, you're there. Line one.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How you doing?
I've been better.
Have you?
Well, yeah. When I had his phone system that worked. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm having a hissy fit, right? But it's the only two tools I need, the only three tools I need, are my big gob, this microphone, and the phones.
Well, at least I got through.
You got through, and that is what makes it all the worthwhile.
Yes, indeed. You were talking a minute ago about bullying in school and that.
What, was I? No, hang on. Oh, yeah, I was. Yes.
I thought I had the right station.
Yeah, no, I forget what I said 10 minutes ago, Ken, so I apologise. Go on.
So what'd you call me?
Well, it says Ken on my screen.
Well, it ain't Ken. It's the third time I've called now. The first time I was called Jimmy.
Yeah.
Second time I wouldn't even ask for a name.
Oh.
And the third time I've been called Ken.
Can we stick with Ken? I tell you what, the phone system's got... I'm getting loads of people as well tweeting me saying, we're trying to call in and we keep getting cut off. You heard that, guys? People are calling in and getting cut off before they get through. So let's see how long that lasts. Anyway, go on, Ken.
I'll be Ken for the night.
Oh, yeah, you might as well. I'll be Steve.
Yeah. Well, there were two kids when I was at school, junior school, must have been about, 10, 15 years ago, and one of the kids was bullying the other kid, and the head teacher actually got them both in the office. This is a true story. He got ended up getting the sack for it. And the kid that was being the bully, he grabbed hold of him by the arms... And he told the other kid to start punching him.
What? Hang on a minute, he did what? Say that again.
He grabbed the bully by the arms.
Yes.
And he was telling the kid that was being bullied, go on, get your own back, whack him one, go on.
Oh, the headmaster said that?
Yeah. Flipping heck.
Old school judicial discipline.
This was only, it must have been early 2000s.
Wow.
Yeah, he got the boot for it, and the new head mistress, she was a bitch.
Well, there we go. That's great, great, Ken. Excellent. I'm glad. Thank you for that. Line one?
What up, G-Money?
Oh.
Miles Hunt were good, weren't he?
That was down to your... you reminded me that he would be a good interview, Rob, so thank you. And you're absolutely right. I had spoken to him before, and I'd forgotten just how delightful he was. And so I thank you for putting me in touch with him.
They ripped the head off it in Leeds on Saturday, I tell you. Awesome.
I don't know what that means, but I hope the head was replaced successfully.
Where are we with Dominic Diamond? Is that not happening, do you think?
I don't...
Because there's been a bit of flirtation.
Well, no, from you.
And he responded and said, well, he's got a beard, so that's a good start.
But what would I talk to Dominic Diamond about?
See, I thought you could do a thing like London and Canada. What's happening? He's in Canada, you're in London. Right. Like, you know. So there's the aspect of why he left the UK. That's an interesting story, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. What is the story?
So there's a podcast. It's a free one called, I think, Thumb Bandits. It goes through the whole history of Games Master and stuff. Really good listen. It's about an hour and a half. He talks about his breakdown.
Oh, yeah.
And then he went and did that crucifixion show. I don't know if you remember that.
No.
On Channel 5.
No.
Yeah, he was going to be, like, crucified, and then he broke down and stuff, and he's like, oh, and then he suddenly went off to Canada.
Well, I think you've missed out all the interesting bits. No, I think you've missed out all the interesting bits.
Well, I don't want to slander anyone.
Are you drinking?
I'm just having a cup of coffee.
Well, could you... Well, right, first of all, you shouldn't be having coffee at this late time of night. You won't sleep. And secondly, could you not wait until we've at least finished the phone call?
Sorry. Okay.
Well, you can.
Catherine's listening.
You can drink now.
Okay.
There we are. As the phone call is finished, you can drink now. 0844 499 1000. If you are calling and having troubles getting through, could you just let me know on Twitter at Ian Lee, and we'll anyway. So with their cheery grins, but back to gnomes. Why would anyone want an actual gnome in their garden? I can see the kind of kitsch value of it, but really, they're rubbish, aren't they? I think gardens are overrated, but that's by the by. With their cheery grins and rosy cheeks, ornamental gnomes have been a feature of British gardens since 1847. But now it seems they could be dying out. Sales have been shrinking every year since 2006. Well, hang on. What that says is that they were growing up until 2006. In an Asda poll of 2000... 94% said they would never have a gnome in their garden, though there are an estimated 5 million out there. Gnome hater Chris Herbert, 40, gnome hater, imagine being described as that in the newspapers, said, "I find gnomes creepy. They are not cute little things at all. They send shivers up my spine." But fan Emily Cross, 38, of Hackney, said, "They bring a smile to everyone who walks past." And what they, do they? Really? Does anybody actually have gnomes now? It's an old person's thing, isn't it? Really? There are some people that take their gardens way too seriously, and they create, like, little... for me, a garden is for going out, and you can sit in when it's sunny for a bit until you get bored, and it's good to let the dog out when she's being annoying, right? And you don't fancy giving it a walk. That's what gardens are good for, really. Apart from that, I mean, they're a pain. You've got to look after them. You've got to mow the lawn. You've got to trim the bush. All this work you've got to do. And then to have gnomes all over the place is just ridiculous. So we'll be having none of that. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call. Now I've got loads of people saying they're trying to call and they can't get through. Crying out loud. Oh, let's go to the break.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Here it comes. It's coming. Trust me. Thank you.
There once was a wealthy man who had a wonderful idea to bring children from all places with all kinds of faces together into a sailing ship. There were 40 boys and girls. They would sail their ship around the globe, so they called it the United World. Just 3 weeks from shore when a hurricane bore down. The waves were big as mountains. They felt they would surely drown. They jumped into the lifeboats, rowed away from the wreck. They didn't count them, they hadn't time. 5 children were left behind. The children fought the storm all night and finally fell asleep. Into the lost islands. But hiding in the bushes was a watchful pair of eyes, and living in the valley were people lost in time, ruled over by a tyrant whose face was in a mask. The children must defeat him so they can escape at last from the lost islands. The lost.
So, Tony Blair's been criticised.
Again?
Well, not Tony Blair. Who's the new Prime Minister? Gosh, that's how old and out of date I am.
David.
David Blair has been criticised. Well, he went off on a holiday with, shortly after the attack in, was it Brussels?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact, you know, there's loads of stuff going on in the world, and he's gone off on holiday, right, to...
Lanzarote. There we go. To the lost island of Lanzarote.
Oh, wait, 444-499-1000. And now there's a picture of him wearing Beats headphones, yeah. But with the Union flag on, you know, a bit like a bell. oh, it's April Fool's tomorrow. I wonder what Rossi's going to be doing.
Oh,
Rossi, Paul. I won't be listening because I will be having a drug-induced sleep. Legal drugs, they're prescribed.
I'm wondering which already dead comedian's going to be put on Twitter as having died that day. So anyway, David Cameron.
No, it's not an early April Fool. I hate April Fool's jokes. I like if my boys do some, I'll be funny, right? Because my eldest got, for some reason, he wanted... Oh, we saw some. And he thought it'd be funny. He wanted some play money, some trick money.
Yeah.
So that he could... And it arrived, and they're rubbish at doing jokes, right? So this play money arrived. It's obviously play money. But he arrived, and he went up to my wife and went, look what I've just found. She went, wow, where did you find that? Just found it. It's like hundreds of pounds. I just found it. Do you want to borrow some? Jokes like that, I think, are funny. Cause he's
how old is he?
He's six.
So let him get away with that.
And that is funny because he's enjoying he's enjoying learning about, you know, kind of fun, you know, lies that are fun. We don't encourage lying, obviously, but he's enjoying manipulating the truth, yeah, in a fun way for a comic effect. That I dig. When grown-ups do it, or when newspapers do it, are flipping it. Newspapers doing it. Jeez, you make me want to puke. I'm glad your industry is dying because it deserves to die when every year you come up with a thing about, I don't know, footballers wearing, having cameras on their boots so they can see what's behind them and all of that stuff.
Spaghetti trees.
Stop it. Spaghetti trees was good because we were dumb then. It was on telly. And when was that? That was 1956. And we believed what was on television then.
We didn't know about Italy.
No, exactly. And we believed it. And we went, oh, flipping it. Look at that. That's great. But now we're too sophisticated for that rubbish. So unless Paul Ross comes on and tomorrow and says, I'm dying. No, seriously, I'm dying. And this is probably the last show. If he can pull that off, respect. Respect.
Well,
yeah, exactly. And then and then he comes back on Monday and goes, April Fool, I'm fine. If he can do that, respect. But if he comes on, if anyone in the newspaper does a thing about, well, they're going to make it illegal to watch television, which they are actually doing. It's midnight, we can do an April Fool. It's illegal to watch television.
They're making it illegal?
Yeah. They made it illegal. April Fool!
Oh, you...
Or if someone came up to you and just kept punching you in the face, and then after, like, the 50th punch, when your nose is just gristle, you can lick, and they went, only kidding, April Fool.
That would be a good one.
That would be a good one. Mm. But all other April Fools are just rubbish.
What about if someone, I don't know, if you parked somewhere you shouldn't have and a friend of yours said, oh, you got a ticket.
Well,
and you didn't.
That wasn't an April Fool. That was a joke.
Yeah.
That was a prank.
What about if you came out of the office, I don't know, you came out from the loo or something, and you couldn't find your bag or your coat? What about that?
That's hijinks.
What about if you came out of the loo and someone jumped out on you?
That's actual sexual harassment.
All right, just checking.
Sex, crime.
What if, you know, a large man that you work with repeatedly jumps out of small... hidey holes to deliberately frighten you.
I have never been in a hidey hole. Do you think I was a disc jockey in the 1970s? No, it's not an early April Fool.
Oh.
This really is David Cameron wearing a pair of £300 plus...
Outrageous.
...Union Jack headphones. Not only that, but they are the ultra-cool Beats brand designed by American hip-hop mogul Dr. Dre.
Can I just say ultra-cool? Not anymore, they're not.
And usually seen on the likes of Cara Delevingne, One Direction's Harry Styles, Rita Ora, and Les Dennis.
Did you make one of those up?
Yes, Rita Ora is not on that list. 0844-499-1000. In other words, people much younger and trendier than our 49-year-old Prime Minister. The problem with Dre's is they're too bassy.
You mean the beats?
Well, they're, I call them Dre's.
Okay.
They're too bassy. They're too bassy.
I've never had a...
They're too bassy. Because it's not designed for the music... It's not designed for pop, 60s pop, or kind of soft country music. Mm. It's designed for hip-hop.
Yeah.
For beats. It's designed for beats.
Yeah.
So it's too bassy.
I don't really like headphones. I prefer, like, either a meaty pair of woofers or a nice tweeter.
I've not seen a meaty woofer, singular or plural, for a long time. I like I like the Apple ones that you slip in your ear.
Oh, I don't. They ache after a while.
No, we're not wearing them properly. What's funny is the one in my right ear kind of slips around a little bit, and so I don't get the full effect. But yeah. Oh, look, the Daily Mail. Here we go. Daily Mail. Olivia Colman is to be James Bond. Oh, for crying out loud. Grow up. Grow up! Now, that's a Bond girl. Has Olivia Colman been lined up to play 007? Broadchurch star set to make history by taking over from Daniel Craig for the next movie. And that's why, the Daily Mail, I wish you... I bid you adieu. I bid you adieu, because you make me want to puke. Hate it. What's the point of it? It was hysterical, said fellow passenger Wesley Gregor, 37, of Sheringham, Norfolk. People kept double-taking. I found it hugely entertaining the whole way. I hate... Here's the thing, guys. If you recognise someone on an aeroplane, don't double-take. It's happened to me. I often, as you know, go to one of the Greek islands for holidays, and I normally go out on my own, and the family are out there. And I go by EasyJet. An EasyJet flight... At 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning to, where is it?
Lagunas.
No, but what's the island?
Zakynthos.
Yeah, Zakynthos. It's just full of stags and hens.
Yeah.
Stags and hens who watch Big Brother's Bit on the Side and all recognise me. And then you go for a wee and everyone's looking, it's a bloke off the telly. 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 Are you off the telly? They're all drunk. You have the telly! Mr. Cameron, often mocked for his love of chillaxing, was pictured on a form... what are you often mocked for, my love of chillaxing? Was pictured on a four-hour EasyJet... It's funny, I don't like chillaxing, but I do like guesstimate.
Yeah, well, okay.
And even the company behind the headphones poked fun at the PM with a source saying, Mr. Cameron and his cans, seemingly wanting to curry favour. What was he listening to? Now, if this were The Sun, they... Last year, the Chancellor revealed in an interview with The Mail on Sunday's Event magazine that he was a fan of the controversial gangster rap group NWA. And they put in brackets what that spells.
Well, yeah, just in case you were wondering. And they can spell it.
They spelt it, well, yeah.
Yes. He likes the Arctic Monkeys, doesn't he, apparently, Cameron?
Oh.
Does he, Eck?
It does make you...
I mean, come on, Grandad.
Yeah, I think there's a couple here, right? 0844 499 1000. I have literally no idea if the phones are working or not. Literally no idea whatsoever. I would be surprised. I'll be surprised if they were. I don't feel sorry for this couple. This story is written in a way that we're meant to feel sorry for them. Right. My sympathy does not lie with them. Can someone call in and just test the phones, please? And not someone who works here. Wedding nightmare. Now, wedding nightmare. Couple barred from honeymoon suite for losing key. Good. Because when you go for a honeymoon suite in a posh hotel, it's a big key on a big wooden fob.
Yeah.
It's not like a key card. It's a big key on a big wooden fob.
Because they're making you feel special.
You can't lose. If you lose that, you deserve everything that you get.
Why did they lose it, though? They've been doing something ridiculous. Apart from getting married.
Well, I don't know. Let's find out what's going on here with these couples. They had hoped, naturally, it would be the best day of their lives. It generally isn't. Weddings are way too stressful. There's no one enjoys a wedding. Neither the bride nor the groom, nor any of the guests, because the guests don't really want to be there.
Mine was all right, but we spent too much money.
Well, there you go. You probably spent tens of thousands of pounds.
But my parents spent too much money. Well, I have no idea how much
tens of thousands of pounds was probably spent, and you just said, mine was all right.
No, I liked it, and everyone had a nice time. If I were to ever do it again, I probably wouldn't do it like that.
You there, line two?
Nope, I'm not here.
Oh, that's a shame. I guess the phones still aren't working, are they?
No, I don't think they're working, mate. Sorry.
Any idea how I can get them working again?
Have you tried switching them back off and then back on again?
I'll give it a go.
Hard
thanks.
Hard reset.
It's a shame.
No.
Sorry, we couldn't take your call, mate.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry, we couldn't take your call. That's a real. That's a shame. Let's try this one. Line three.
Hey there, Ian.
Hi there.
I just wanted to mention A, your phones are working, and B, respond to Ronnie Corbett dying.
Oh yeah, go on.
Which is, I don't really care. But hey, I tell you what, one thing. I'm really glad that you're on now.
Well, no, hang on a minute.
Whoa.
No. I mean, I don't know if that's it's a little bit insensitive to say you don't really care.
He hasn't done anything for years, mate.
Well, but even if you don't care, to say you don't care, I mean, I don't know. I remember when Steve Irwin died, I said that I wasn't that bothered by Steve. I never really particularly liked him. And I got a load of flack for that. So, I mean, as I get older, mysterious caller, as I get older, I guess I get a little bit softer in my ways. And maybe, I don't know. I mean, I suppose there are people that don't care. No, okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, valid point.
Well, I'm really glad you're on at this time of the day because it's the middle of my day now. So here in America, so this is a great time.
Well, hang on, it says on my screen. This phone system is so crap. It says on my screen you're in Glasgow.
No, but I'm calling through Google Bing, which because I have to pay like I don't know how many cents a minute to call you. It's ridiculous. You guys are making bank on this phone system.
Well, I'm not making anything, and we call everyone back on this show, so. Yeah,
it's all good.
I'm not making a penny out of it.
It's great to talk to you.
Well,
I'm sure you are making a penny out of it somewhere. You're getting paid to be there.
Yeah, I'm getting paid to be there. I don't get money off the phone calls.
That's true. Hey, I want you very quickly to say hello to me.
Okay. What do you think we are? Don't come on and be a little bit snarky and then want to do a shout out to someone. I don't make a penny off the phone calls. I agree, but what are you going to do? Line six, you're on the wireless.
Hello?
Oh, so we're late for a break. Never mind, don't matter. They can mess up my show, I'll mess up their breaks. Yes!
Oh, I've been trying to ring you all day. Just didn't have your number.
Well, I'm not here all day.
Well, since the show started.
Well, so for a part of the evening.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't have your number. That was a downside.
Well, that would slow you down in the calling stakes, yes.
Yeah, you helped me change my duvet the other night.
Oh! How are you finding that duvet? I need to clean my sheets, actually. How are you finding that duvet? Good?
I mean, it's on. It's clean. I'm loving it.
Beautiful.
Now, obviously, I've got a clean bed. I've now turned my attentions now to trying to find someone to share it with.
Oh, hello.
And, yeah, I just don't know how I go about finding someone to share my bed with.
Mate,
I just wondered if you had any more advice.
Mate, I've taught you how to put on a duvet. I can't tell you how to pick up a young lady or a young gentleman.
Oh, man.
Sorry about that, dude.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, line six. Hello? Line six? No, why would we expect that to... Hang on a minute. Let me just do a little bit of, No, we can't get that to work. There we go. That's a shame. No, you're not there? No. Ed, can you give them a call back, please? They had hoped, naturally, it would be the best day of their lives, and all started... Can we turn phone box off? Do we have the technology to turn phone box off and then turn it on again?
I think it's
again?
Behind, like, several locked doors downstairs.
But can you not close that computer down that it's on, and then turn that computer on again?
I'll give it a go. I don't know if it will help, but we'll give it a go.
Give it a go. Do you want to go and help him, Kurt?
Yeah, okay.
They had hoped, naturally, it would be the best day of their lives, and all started well for the bride and groom. The marriage ceremony and celebration meal at a picturesque barn were memorable. Why are barns considered romantic? It's just a barn. It's just barns. Or maybe you need to do it on this computer, because maybe this is the one that's ballsing up. I'm closing phone box. There we go. Look, I'm doing it. Closing phone box, and I'm opening phone box. There we go. I'm saying I'm opening phone box. I don't quite know how to do it on a touch screen. I've closed it. Now open it. But so was Tom and Amy Barry's wedding night. Unfortunately, for all the wrong reason. They returned to the hotel to realise they'd locked themselves out of their £180 a night honeymoon suite. That seems quite cheap for a honeymoon suite, doesn't it? Even though they were still in their wedding outfits, the receptionist refused to hand over a spare key so they could use the suite. Instead, they had to pay £80 to spend the night in a I'm noticing with the Daily Mail, right, a lot of their stories are missing words. They're missing words. This story is missing words. I'm having to do the work for them. This is what the sentence says. Instead, they had to pay £80 to spend the night at Pokey Box Room. There were stories yesterday where it was going on all the time where the words were all to cock. Yesterday, the Mark's Tay Hotel near Colchester, blamed the mix-up on a discrepancy in the spelling of Mr. Barry's name when the room was booked. Mr. Barry, 35, who looks older. He looks a lot older than 35. Who works in construction, said, "We ended our first night of marriage in a horrible room in the corner of the hotel." Still, you're not there to sleep. You're not there to sleep, are you, Line 1?
My playing days are over. My time is too valuable to waste on such childish balderdash. Don't you realize that I'm about to become a big oil magnet? You know what a magnet is, don't you? Sure, a thing that eats cheese.
Thank you very much indeed. Love Lauren Hardy. I wish I hadn't got rid of my Laurel. I had the box set of nearly all of their films, apart from their awful like Warner Brothers films at the end, which are just unwatchable because they're really old. And I got rid of the box set to save room. What an idiot. What treasures. What treasures. I'm going to end up buying that again. The room was booked in my name and they could have simply checked my credit card and let us in. The couple have been together for 10 years and have three daughters. Oh, well, you see. You see. Mrs. Barry, 33, a nursery worker, dressed for the wedding in the suite and left all her belongings, including her key, in the room. So it's her fault! She did it! The newlyweds returned to the hotel in the small hours. In the he actually says that. All right, Frank Sinatra, calm down. Mr. Barry said, "We went to the receptionist and said, can we have the key, please? Wedding dresses don't have pockets." Well, there's an invention for Theopophytis. And Amy had other things on her mind. Fwah! I don't know what Catherine's miming now. I'm hoping it's drinking from a bottle, from a long bottle, for a long time. Amy had other things on her mind, so she didn't bother taking anything with her. I couldn't believe it when the woman refused to give us our key. We ended up having a terrible night on what should have been one of the happiest nights of our lives. Yeah, a night away from the kids. The receptionist refused to check his credit card against the booking, but allowed him to use it to pay for the £80 room, Mr. Barry added. When... Well, here we go, you see. It all works out in the end. I think we've got the phones working. 08444991000. When they complained the following morning, staff apologised and the couple have now been given a refund and a free two-day stay. So they're quids in. A hotel spokesman said... 08444991000. You can come back in now, Catherine. Your exile has ended. And there's a story that's in loads of the papers, and they do this every now and then, right? And I don't normally talk about these, but dog parties.
What?
Well, you have dog parties to get your dogs, like you have chicken pox parties for kids. It's to go and get, so they get used to hanging out with dogs.
Oh, right, okay.
Right. But this is one of those stupid people, oh, for crying out loud, who, I want this show to try and be a celebration of the positive, and maybe I'll try a bit harder tomorrow. But there are just some people you can't not take the rise out of, because you kind of have to. Someone's tweeting me their phone number, but they're doing it on Twitter in front of everyone.
Don't do that. You'll get phone calls, but not from us.
I tell you what I've done before, a couple of times, I've done it twice, when I've seen someone that's followed me, and they've just opened their account, right, and they've got confused filling it in, so instead of putting, like, their name is Steve Jones, at yeah. Steve Jones, they've put at 07962 49, and they've put their phone number.
One of our old colleagues put a picture of an envelope that was sent to his house with his full address
oh,
on it.
Oh, never, you've got to be, I know, yeah. And I twice I phoned these yeah. numbers up, I've gone, all right, it's Ian Lee, you've just followed me. What? You? So, yeah, no, you've just followed me, you've put your phone number on there, you need to log in and get rid of that because other people are going to phone you up.
Yeah.
But imagine if
That's
it wasn't
kind
me.
Of you.
Imagine if it wasn't me. Imagine it was Paul McCartney that phoned you up. Or Paul McCartney that did it.
It's almost worth doing it and then following loads of famous people.
Yeah. Line one, are you there?
See who you get.
Line one? No. Right, we're going to sack the phones off because they're not working. Can we get this sorted? Otherwise, there's no point in me coming in. Anyway, so they're having a party for, but it's a birthday party for dogs.
What?
Yeah. But it's stupid. It's Chi-Chi the Chihuahua.
Oh. You know what? Chi-Chi is a very rude term.
And they've spent £6,000 on a hen party. Hang on a minute. Oh, it's a hen party. So basically, it's a party to celebrate dog sex.
And they've called their dog after a lady's front bottom.
She spotted him across a crowded park, and it was love at first sight. They were besotted. A date was set for the wedding. Oh, for God, you make me want to puke. You actually make me want to puke. Line two, you're not there, are you? No, the phones aren't working. The phones aren't working. Let's give up on those for the rest of the show. There's only a few minutes left.
Okay.
Jaya Narain wrote this. I hope you're proud of yourself, Jaya. They were besotted, a date was set for the wedding, and inevitably a hen party was planned. But this is no typical love story. She is Chi-Chi the Chihuahua. He is Harvey the Pomeranian. And the bride-to-be owners have just spent $6,000 on a doggy hen party.
Wow.
Helen Turner, Chi-Chi's owner, says she is now planning a £20,000 wedding. The hen night began with a pink limousine for Chi-Chi, 5 pooch pals and 9 people.
Oh, God.
They were treated to more than £500 of doggy spa treatments. And there's a picture of a dog getting its nails painted, its claws painted, because they don't have nails.
As if this is going to make it more attractive to the other dog. The dog doesn't care. It's just going to sniff its backside. Why are they doing this?
There was a topless human butler. So what? They brought human sex into the world of dog sex.
This is nothing to do with the dogs, is it? This is them.
And a canine stripper.
What?
That is messed up. mother of two, Mrs. Turner, 43, who probably thinks she's being charming, but you know that there are children starving in the world. You know that, right? You know that there are kids. You know that a kid has just died just now because they haven't got food or water, and you're going to spend £26,000 on a hen and a wedding for your dog. That's obscene. Mother of two, Mrs. Turner, 43, said, there were pink balloons everywhere, L plates, 2 specially made doggy cakes. She wore a special dress for the occasion and was the centre of attention. She even had a Chinese crested powder puff called Yoshi as her stripper.
Oh.
All the dogs loved it. It was an amazing day. Mrs. Turner of Burnley said, it all started as a bit of fun. Chi-Chi and Harvey get on really well. They're dogs! My dog gets on really well with all of the other dogs. Her milkshake brings all of the dogs to the yard. And I have to keep pushing them off.
You don't have to paint her nails for that, then.
Whenever they met, they will be completely love-struck. Dogs don't express love. They hump. They hump. That's all they can do, is just hump. That's it.
So you don't think Harvey's going to be faithful?
They see one bit of tail, they go for that bit of tail. It's all about the scent of a woman. Sorry, Al Pacino, as far as I'm concerned. Tomorrow we'll do films where sighted actors have pretended to be blind. Scent of a Woman. Next one. Name another one.
Hear no evil, see no evil.
Blind Fury.
Ray.
Ooh, yeah, that's good. Star Trek Generations.
Oh, Wait Until Dark, Audrey Hepburn.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have ourselves a brand new game. Yes, tomorrow on Talk Radio, whether the phones are working or not, we shall be playing actors who have pretended to be blind.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.